So this is good. We get progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Begin countdown.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
Please enter your security code.
Access.
Calibrate digital audio.
Press it, equalize it, add a curve.
Setup complete. Initiate transmission.
Opinions expressed and the advice offered by the host are not necessarily those of Wink WNOG, Fort Myers Broadcasting, Meridian Broadcasting, or any of their affiliate sponsors or assigns.
Democratic Radio is on the air now.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Now, here's Guy James.
Yes, indeed. Guy James here with you, and I have been anxiously awaiting the program tonight, as I know some of you are, and I welcome all of our listeners to the program, all of our local listeners here in the Fort Myers and Naples, Florida area, all up and down the west coast of Florida, the beautiful sandy beaches and blue waters of west coast of Florida. Glad to have you along with us, and all of our many, many thousands of you out there on the internet all around the world. We've got a great show ahead for you tonight. We've got a great interview coming up with Susie Turnbull, Vice Chair of the DNC. Going to talk about FEMA and, well, you know that. And don't miss the second hour tonight. The second hour tonight is going to be on fire, I promise you that. We've got a letter to read you from one of our fine listeners in Norway that you just won't believe. This letter is going to blow you away, I promise you. It's going to make you think like you haven't thought before. I know it sure sobered me up, and I hadn't even been drinking. A lot to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about the timeline. We're going to talk about the talking points that the RNC and the... Well, they're just churning them out over there on the other side like crazy. And I want to tell you one thing. To my right-wing friends listening to the program, I want to tell you something now. Who the hell do you think you're fooling? You send me this email every week and say, I don't listen to your show. I only listened to 2 minutes of it, and that was enough for me, enough to make me sick and all that. And then they rattle off things that they couldn't have known unless they listened to the entire program. So I know your game. I know you're listening. I know you're there. And to all my right-wing friends, I want to tell you one thing. I want to warn you tonight. By the time this program's over, if you love George Bush, and if you're in love with this administration, you're going to think I got horns, a pitchfork, and a red cape by the time this show's over tonight. Because I'm going to talk about George Bush and this administration in terms that I promise you, you are not going to like. All right? We got much to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about the timeline. Hey, I assume a lot of you heard the outrageous comments by a lot of the right-wing radio hosts. And, of course, no week could go by without a totally outrageous comment by that old hag, former First Lady of the United States, Babs Barbara Bush. She never fails to say something totally. I bet you George Bush Sr. and Jr. Probably got some duct tape around and threatened to tape her to a chair someplace and tape her mouth shut. She makes such outrageous comments. But then again, I don't think any of them dare tangle with the woman. I think I won't go into it right now. We're going to talk about that a little later on the program. And much to talk about. I am so frustrated this week, and I know a lot of you are too, because thinking back, in my lifetime, I have not witnessed anything as tragic and as inept as our government's response to the Hurricane Katrina disaster. The main function of government, to my way of thinking, is to protect the people. And in this case, that protection was horribly late in arriving and woefully inadequate when it finally did get to the afflicted areas. You know, to be sure, the local authorities in Louisiana and the city of New Orleans made some mistakes. There's no doubt about that. I think we can all agree on that. But I also think we can agree that on the federal level, the response was, for the most part, absolutely pathetic. It was slow, it was unorganized, and I'm still not sure the right hand knows what the left hand's doing. And I don't think I ever witnessed chaos in government to this degree. From Bush on down, it was the quintessential Chinese fire drill. I don't understand how anyone can have any confidence left in this administration knowing that Bush's appointments to FEMA were made knowing that the appointees had no qualifications whatsoever in disaster management. Nothing but a bunch of political hacks running this all-important organization. How can you possibly trust a man who filled this important organization with his political cronies at the expense of thousands of needlessly dead people in the New Orleans area? And I do hope it ends up less than that. But that's right, I do blame George W. Bush personally, for the deaths of many of those who perished in New Orleans. And let me say that again. I blame George W. Bush personally for many of those deaths that happened in New Orleans. And I don't know how you can look at it any other way. And don't pull this phony baloney crap of saying I'm accusing Bush of causing the hurricane. That's not what I mean at all. I'm saying he gutted the organization responsible for seeing to the needs of the people after disaster and replaced those professionals with people he knew damn well weren't qualified in any way whatsoever. How could a president of the United States charged with protecting his people commit their safety to a bunch of hacks with no more experience in disaster management than the dishwasher at the local diner or the greeter at Walmart? Hell, having helped a community clean up after a tornado, I have more experience than the whole upper level of FEMA management added together. How could the President of the United States do this to our people? How could he be so callously disregard the security and safety of the citizens of this country? This is more than just some bureaucratic goof. This is an outrage. The mayor of New Orleans made mistakes. The governor of Louisiana made mistakes too. But the lion's share of the screw-ups in this whole affair rests squarely on the shoulders of George W. Bush. And he even had the audacity to tell Brown he was doing a good job. Good job, Brownie. My God, how much more could he insult the people of this country than make a statement like that about a totally inept manager like Michael Brown? Sure, Michael Brown and Michael Chertoff are guilty of terrible mismanagement, but the real culprit in this whole affair is none other than George W. Bush. And as a citizen of this country who cares about the safety and security of all of our citizens, black, white, no matter what, I'm asking for George W. Bush's resignation. He has failed the people, and he is no longer deserving of the privilege of leading this country. The sooner he resigns, the safer and more secure this nation will be. And that's a fact known to every thinking person in the United States of America. You, who still believe in the guy, need to wake up and put the welfare of the citizens of the United States above your misguided allegiance to this failed leader. George W. Bush should resign now. I don't understand how he can look anybody in the face after the performance of his government this past 12 days. I don't know how he could do it. Did you see this fiasco about Michael Brown's resume? Did you see it? Let me tell you something. My very close relative was a treasurer of the United States for 8 years under the Bush administration. She went through a vetting process. They contacted, the FBI contacted neighbors, friends, relatives, contacted everybody to make sure her background was safe and secure and that she was somebody who could be trusted. Someone want to tell me if Michael Brown went through that? Huh? Because if he did, they better clean out the FBI as well. Because I want to tell you something about the man's resume, in case you don't know. He's even more unqualified for his job than previously believed. And the reason is because he was lying on his resume. A 2001 White House press release, look it up, states that from 1975 to 1978, Brown worked for the city of Edmond, Oklahoma, a huge metropolis, overseeing the Emergency Services Division. Brown's official government biography says he served as an assistant city manager with Emergency Services Oversight. Well, Time magazine contacted Claudia Deakins, head of public relations for the city of Edmond, and got the real story. Deakins revealed that Brown, quote, was an assistant to the city manager from 1977 to 1980, not a manager himself, and had no authority over other employees. The assistant is more like an intern, she told Time. Department heads did not report to him. It's just one of several fabrications he made. And let's just go on for a moment or two. In a profile on the findlaw.com, Brown claimed he was outstanding political science professor at Central State University. Outstanding political science professor at Central State University. Charles Johnson, a member of the university's public relations office, said Brown, quote, wasn't a professor here, he was only a student here. And Johnson added he may have been an adjunct instructor, but that title is very different from that of professor. Johnson also said he's the chair of the political science department. He was not aware of any outstanding political science professor award. And then Brown goes on in his resume to claim he's a director at a nursing home. Also on his profile, he says from 1983 to the present, he's been a director of the Oklahoma Christian Home, a nursing home in Edmond, Oklahoma. An administrator at the home told Time magazine that Brown is not a person that anyone here is even familiar with. The nursing home doesn't have a board of directors anymore, and when it did, no one remembers Brown being on it. According to an employee there, Brown was never director here, was never on a board of directors, was never executive director. He was never here in any capacity. I never heard the man's name mentioned here. So, this man is the head of FEMA, one of the most important organizations in America, put in office by George W. Bush. Don't forget, George W. Bush is the CEO of this outfit. Don't forget that. I think he's forgotten it. A lot of people have forgotten it. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. Got to go to the phone. We got Chris. He says he wants to call for the resignation of Democrats.
Well, no, I'm just wondering, if Bush should resign, so shouldn't the mayor of New Orleans and the Democrat governor of Louisiana for their mishandling of the whole job?
Who is ultimately responsible for it in the end?
I think all three have.
No, that's not true. That is not true.
All right,
once a state of emergency is declared, the federal government is responsible.
Even though the mayor let all those buses just pile up?
That's a completely phony issue. They bust many, many thousands of people to the Superdome, and they got about 80% of the city evacuated, which I don't know how you could expect any more than that. That's a bogus issue. Once the state of emergency was declared, is in the hands of the federal government. No local municipality could stand up to an onslaught like that hurricane. And
there's plenty of blame to go around, including for that mayor who's known for his corrupt practices in the past.
Well, but ultimately it was not. Ultimately it was not in his hands. Ultimately it was in FEMA's hands and Homeland Security. And we have two jokers ahead of those two organizations, which you will have to admit now, were totally inept, had no business even having that job at all. No.
I think the mayor needs to resign and the governor.
No, I did. I was. I'm asking about the Michael Chertoff and Michael Brown, a head of FEMA and head of Homeland Security. You don't think that they ought to be out of there?
Brown should, but not Chertoff.
Chertoff is the man that helped put him in there.
Okay.
And Chertoff is the man that kept him in there, knowing all this.
I honestly think that Brown and the Democrat mayor is blame on Republicans and Democrats here.
Let me repeat one more time. Once a state of emergency is declared, it's in the hands of the federal government.
I guess we're going to have to reasonably disagree because I think it's a state, local, and federal problem.
But ultimately, it becomes the federal government's responsibility.
And by what I'm seeing, it was the state basically told the federal government to stay out of it for a while.
Let me ask you, if we had a thing like that hit here, do you think the mayor of Fort Myers, Florida, for example, should be held responsible for everything that went on happened down there? You think he could be held responsible? Do you think he could handle the situation, would have the resources to do it with?
It depends. If he did wrong things, if he locked up 2,000 buses and let them fly.
No, there's another one. There's not 2,000 buses. There was 187 buses, I believe.
Okay,
it was.
I guess we've read different things.
But the right-wing talking points are making it 2,000.
I think Brown's a bum and he should go. But I also think the
mayor who is Brown's boss? Who is Brown's boss?
I understand, and point taken. But I do think that mayor, who's known for his corrupt practices...
Fine, let's get rid of the mayor. But the mayor isn't mayor of the United States of America.
I don't think you always have to count on the federal government for everything.
Well,
come on, Chris,
don't go there. You, there's no municipality in the United States of America that could stand up to that storm without help from the federal government.
But when you have the city not following their own evacuation plan and buses being locked up, and
those are the right wing talking points, Chris. When it comes down to it, thank you.
ABC News.
I don't care where you got it. I know the buses could have hauled out more people if they'd had more time, but they got 80% of the city evacuated. That's more than they ever said in the plans they could get evacuated. And I'm not saying the mayor is blameless, but I'm saying that mayor is not the leader of the United States of America.
That mayor didn't
hire Chertoff, and that mayor didn't hire Brown. If he has to go, fine. I don't care about the mayor of New Orleans.
I think the governor, too. She was slow to act.
You keep talking about the right-wing talking points here. Are you going to address the fact that George W. Bush sits at the desk that hired these people?
What if the right-wing talking
points? No, are you going to address what I said, Chris? Is George W. Bush not the CEO of this organization?
I don't think so, honestly.
You don't think he is?
I think the federal government has a hand to play, but the primary is on state and local. And there was even warnings from
Chris,
the federal government.
Let me repeat one more time. Thank you for your call. Let me repeat one more time. Once the state of emergency is declared that it's a disaster area, it becomes the responsibility of the federal government. That's how it was. That's how it is. Let's go to Ben. Hey, Ben, how are you doing?
We're doing pretty good. The one thing that I am reminded most of when I look at the federal government we have now, especially as revealed by its failures in Iraq and Afghanistan and the current crisis within our borders with the hurricane relief, is that they remind me more of the Soviet Union under Vladimir Lenin than of any other modern government. The Soviet Union under Vladimir Lenin was populated by apparatchiks who were chosen for their purity of ideology rather than any competency that they might have in the post which they were placed. And you got just amazingly stupid things done where they would, you know, set up huge fields in Siberia and sow them all with wheat, but wouldn't even think about how they were going to get any of that wheat back to to the Ural Mountains, across the Ural Mountains to where the mills were. As a result, 80-90% of it would rot in the fields. It is just that sort of thing that we see here with FEMA. We've got a shell of an agency run by political apparatchiks who were chosen because they were good old boys, not because they knew what they were doing.
Well, you're so right, Ben. This whole administration is so rife with the worst kind of cronyism that I've seen. I'm no babe in the woods. I understand every administration has cronyism going on, but to put somebody like these two jerks and start in charge of Homeland Security, you know, look who he nominated first for Homeland Security, Bernie Kerik, a guy with the morals of a snake. And then that didn't work out, and he ends up with Chertoff, and Chertoff is responsible for Michael Brown. None of these people, I wouldn't hire any of them.
Exactly.
Nobody would.
Look at who we've put into the United Nations.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Ben, I interrupt you. And look what's happening behind the scenes here in the United Nations right now. I don't think a lot of people understand the damage that our new United Nations ambassador is doing there right now.
We are the laughingstock of the entire rest of the planet.
Absolutely.
You know, there are nations now who would rather trust North Korea than us.
Yeah, John Bolton is a disgrace, and he's proved it already in the United Nations. But fortunately for him and the administration, that story's been pushed right off the front pages.
Yep, and the other thing I have to say is White Rose is in the midst of a major fundraising drive, so if people like to use our service, stop on by the main page and click the donate button.
Absolutely, you guys do that. If you want to listen to good radio for your archives, you do that at thewhiterosesociety.org.
Ben, thank you, sir.
Thanks for all you do, Ben.
Bye-bye.
We're going to head on out to Northern California and talk to Dave. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Guy. Excellent program, as always. I'm of the belief that several times, I'm hearing a hollow echo. Is it coming through all right?
Yeah, fine.
Okay. This party, this neocon group that's stolen our White House, has several times demonstrated to me that they're willing to engage in murder, mass murder, to further their agenda. They did it in invading Iraq. They did it in the part they had to play in 9/11. What we just witnessed in this hurricane is more than incompetence. The FEMA people that were there chose to turn trucks around, trucks that were showing up with fresh water for the people. People hidden under roofs dying of thirst, and they said even Walmart had three trucks full of bottled water. Turn around, go back, you're not needed. A hospital ship out there in the dock. Of lady captains radioing in saying, I can make 100,000 gallons of water a day. We have 50 lifesaver boats there. We have 650 hospital beds and 100 and some physicians. How can we be of help? They said, stand by. She calls in again, how can we be of help? They say, stand by. She calls in again and they say, turn your ship around and exit the area. We won't be needing you. People dying. See, this is not just incompetence. This is a very willful behavior. These are people that don't vote GOP. This is poor people, black people. They vote Democratic, and there's a very vindictive White House.
Yeah, you know, I couldn't agree more, Dave, about that end of it. These people, New Orleans is a very Democrat city. Who gives a damn? You know, we don't have any votes to protect there anyway. Who gives a damn? These people are poor. They're black. I mean, come on. Let's.
Their polls are showing right now that there's a whole lot fewer Democratic voters in Louisiana today than there were a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, sure. And you know, you look at seats like Mary Landrieu. She, Democratic senator from Louisiana. She barely got elected anyway. You take the number of voters out of New Orleans right now that are out of there, and she's probably toast. But then again, maybe the other good people of Louisiana have had a good look at this administration now.
Well, throw in 16 different kinds of voter fraud, including the voting machines, and yeah, it's going to be a real challenge again.
Yeah. Dave, thank you so much for your call.
I love your program, Guy.
Thank you. Good to hear from you. If you have anything to say, you better give us a call tonight. We want to hear from you. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. What was it? Newsweek today had the poll down to 38%? 38%. Can anybody say Richard Nixon? Richard Nixon? And he resigned in disgrace. Let me say this about Richard Nixon. I was not a Richard Nixon fan. Not at all. But I know that in his heart, Richard Nixon love this country enough to resign in disgrace because he knew the trouble we'd be going through if he stayed on in office. He loved his country enough to do that, and I respected him for that. I didn't respect a lot of things he did and the problems they had there and that whole Watergate affair. But he loved America enough to do that. Does George Bush love America enough to resign? Because the longer he stays in office, the more trouble we're going to have. And I think he's proven it over and over and over again. How could he possibly put one of his hack cronies in that job ahead of FEMA? How could he do that? Nobody who... You know what it was? It's one of these deals where they got caught. That's what it was. He just got caught. Hey, Brownie, I'll put you in. Thanks for helping in the campaign. I'll put you in. FEMA. I'll put you in ahead as FEMA. Hell, you don't have to know anything for that. And, that just goes on. It's just an automatic job. You'll have a good government job. And that'll be it. As long as nothing really bad happens, we'll be okay. Well, they got caught. He really got caught this time. As we used to say, somebody got caught with a certain part of their body in a ringer, but I won't go on with that one. All you farm folks know what I'm talking about on that one anyway. That's about it for this half hour. We're going to pause for a break right now. Are we ready for that? I think we are. We're going to pause for a break. And when we come back, we're going to have Susie Turnbull, of the vice chair of the DNC, is going to be with us. We're going to have a good interview. And believe me, don't go anywhere, because as I told you, the second hour of the program tonight is going to be on fire. And I hope you are, too. We'll be right back.
This is the Guy James Radio Network. Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is the Guy James Show.
Helpful marketing tip number 103. If you have a web designer, a graphic designer, and a search engine optimizer, you may be spending a lot more than you're making on your website. Remember that any web designer worth their salt is already an expert graphic designer and an SEO all in one. If not, you may want to consider changing design firms. J2K Productions. We just do it better. Find out how at J2KProductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're going to like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com. We at The Guy James Show would like to thank the following listeners for their support and welcome them to the growing army of clear-thinking Americans who have contributed to the nation's only listener-supported Democratic radio talk show. Ann Ross, New York, New York. Luciano Rossetti, Cape Coral, Florida. Alice Knowlton, Milford, Massachusetts. Dave Goggin, Eureka, California. Annette Fenner, Marysville, Washington. Joe and Nancy Vogel, St. Paul, Minnesota. Juan Puerto, Fort Myers, Florida. Sarah Kay, Santa Fe, New Mexico. And Marcia Johns, Merritt Island, Florida. To join the growing list of those that support The Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135.
You have a product. You have a service. You want to tell people about your product or service, but you're afraid of being taken down a long road of expenses with no ride back. I'm Johnny Johnson, president of J2K, producers of The Guy James Show. Every week, we're called on to help businesses present their products and services to consumers by radio, video, and web. Businesses like yours. Visit us on the web at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
This might be our man.
He's going to be very popular.
Get ready! Get set! Go! Throw the second switch! Throw the third switch!
Not the third switch!
Throw it, I say! Throw it!
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, do you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
Please enter your security code.
Access granted.
Calibrate digital audio.
Press it, equalize it, add echo.
Set up. Complete. Initiate transmission.
Commercials off. This is the Guy James Show on the Democrat Radio Network.
Oh yeah, back with more of the Guy James Show. I hope you'll stay with us tonight. Having a little problem getting a hold of our guest. I don't know whether we got a wrong number or what here, but we're trying to get a hold. If we do, okay. If we don't, that's all right, too. We've got you to talk to tonight. And you can give us a call, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. So give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. And, Johnny, what is it I'm supposed to tell folks? I am, if some of you are our right-wing friends and you don't have, well, I won't say it that way, if you don't want to call into the show, but you have a legitimate question you'd like to ask, you can IM us at, how do we do in this, Johnny?
Yeah, people who are on the Internet, and Republicans specifically, who might be afraid of, I guess, talking to you face-to-face, they can IM us at AIM, if you have AOL, at Guy James Show.
Okay, all right. We hope that they'll do that. Maybe we'll get some response on that. Yeah, before I get back to the phones, I got a real echo going on over here. I don't know what happened exactly. On Friday's show, okay. On Friday's show, Rush Limbaugh, the fat ass drug addict, as Paul Hackett likes to call him, and I couldn't agree more. He played a clip of Jerry Springer played this on the show, and I heard it as well. Limbaugh caller were saying that the victims of the disaster hit the jackpot with the $2,000 debit cards. And, of course, Rush egged him on and saying that millions and over-quota seized designer clothing were being distributed to him. And the caller's response was, how much of that will be used to buy crack? And, of course, Rush is right in there agreeing with him. And, of course, we have the illustrious Tony Snow on the Fox Fair and Unbalanced Network. Tony Snow saying that the reason FEMA stopped passing out the debit cards was because they knew all the people that got them would be out buying Louis Vuitton bags. Guys, in case you don't know, Louis Vuitton is real expensive handbags that ladies buy that cost several hundred dollars. So everybody is trying to be as disparaging as they possibly can toward the victims of that. Change the subject. There's never been a better change the subject effort going on that there is right now, the people from the right. Let's go to Caroline in Everett, Washington. Hi, Caroline.
Hi, Guy. I can hardly hear you.
Well, you're doing fine.
Okay. My question is, Governor Blanco of Louisiana, she has written a letter to George Bush on the 26th of August, which is 4 days before Hurricane, a state of emergency letter.
That's right.
So that means George Bush sat on it before 1 week. 1 week exactly before he sent anyone in there.
It was late in coming, and no one's been able to explain why yet, adequately, except the fact it was just plain malfeasance on their part. That's all you can say.
My second thing is, my understanding is, Dable ship was following Katrina.
Yes.
From Florida all the way up to, off the coast of Louisiana.
Yes.
Until they were waiting on George Bush to give them okay to go in, because he is their commander of chief.
They never got that order. They were capable of producing 100,000 gallons of fresh water a day.
And 9 million food on the board ready to be supplied.
Yeah.
The prepackaged food, just like a soldier over in Iraq who gets out on the field.
That's right. That's right. Total inaction on their part, Caroline. They're not going to make any.
How are they going to secure our country?
No. If we had a big national disaster of some kind.
They're not going to secure our country.
No. You know.
This is the proof.
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely. Caroline, thanks for your call.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
It's so good to hear from you.
Yeah, first time caller.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Delight to have you with us this evening. I wonder how they're going to have to keep spinning this. They can't stop with what they've said now because none of it makes any sense. And everybody knows that this trail of malfeasance goes right to the top. Everybody knows that. And how you can not hold George W. Bush accountable for hiring these people and putting them in these positions and then have this disastrous, they're trying everything. They're trying to blame it on the poor people who couldn't get out of there. They're trying to blame it on the governor. They're trying to blame, you heard one of our callers earlier, they're trying to blame any place except on George W. Bush. You will not hear, you won't hear anybody at all put any blame on them whatsoever. We're going to go to our guest right now. I promise you we had an exciting guest with us tonight. We got Susie Turnbull, vice chair of the DNC, and she was elected vice chair of the Democratic National Committee in February of this past year, and she's worked in a lot of campaigns, and she knows her way around Washington, D.C., and she knows the facts on this latest Bush debacle and this FEMA debacle, and we're so pleased to have you with us. Are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hey, thank you for appearing on the program tonight.
Great. Great to be with you, guys. I don't know how exciting I am, but...
Well, it's always exciting to have some of the good folks from the DNC on the program, and we appreciate your cooperation. On Saturday night's always a good night to be out having a nice dinner someplace, but we appreciate your time to be on the program. What went wrong?
What went wrong? I mean, basically, I think, I don't know if you've talked about this yet, but Paul Krugman of the New York Times wrote this great piece yesterday. And basically, what he says is that what went wrong is it starts with that the first pick, not the person who's currently in the position, but the first pick for FEMA at his hearings in 2001 basically said that what we should do is emphasize responsibility and accountability, and that what that FEMA's mantra over the last 5 years has been pretty much let those locals take care of themselves, and then we'll come in only if they have done it right. And I think that what we've seen here is that in this case, this administration has put in place people who weren't up to the job and who were totally unqualified, and that was one of the key points in getting a job for FEMA. And I think that the emphasis on the war on terror outside of these borders and the emphasis on simply making sure that what the concerns were all about terrorism, that they took their eye off of the ball when it came to a natural disaster.
Well, it does make you wonder if a regional disaster like this, that's going to end up being a national disaster because it's going to affect every citizen of this country in one way or another. It makes you wonder, what if we did have a horrible disaster in New York or L.A. or someplace else? How would we cope? These are people that ran their campaign on telling us how they were going to keep us safe and how the Democrats wouldn't keep us safe, and here we are in this mess now.
Right. I mean, I think this is a staff that was staffed based on ideological correctness and political connections rather than qualifications. And the people who have been in FEMA share two traits, loyalty to President Bush and little or no background in emergency management. And what we needed here and what was clear to every single person watching television, listening to the radio, picking up a newspaper, going on a blog, was what was happening was in so awful and so unbelievable and so poorly handled. Every single person, I'm sure, watching television was screaming into the television the way I was, get those people water. Get those people water. And you see our news media right there. And obviously they were able to get in. Things that should have happened on Monday, the things that should have happened on Sunday, things that should have happened on Monday, didn't happen until Friday. And by that time, we have a catastrophe there. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it started out bad enough, and it just multiplied as the week went on. And to hear some of the statements from FEMA director that he didn't know about the problems at the convention center until Thursday. All of us knew it, and we just had to watch it on TV. And he had to have a member of the media tell him about it. Brian Williams supposedly said that he's the first one to tell Brown about it, and he's like, "Oh, I didn't know." And the National Guard response, it's amazing that all of us followed this so closely. We all knew this, and yet we've got the FEMA director saying he didn't know anything about some of these problems.
Right, and we can't forget when the president arrived on the scene, I guess on Wednesday, he looked at the FEMA director and goes, "Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job."
Yeah.
And clearly, the reality was so far from true. I mean, it was what all of us saw was such a different picture. And so then, that was a week and a half ago, and then now, now that they have removed him from action in that area, now President Bush's spokesperson declines to defend Brown at any opportunity. He basically won't say anything about him. But this is the same guy a week ago. The president's going, "Boy, you're doing one heck of a job." One of the things that I thought was really rather telling, too, was that Daryl Kagan on CNN, watching the president with his first tour, looked at it and said, "Okay, now someone explain to me why he just didn't get a briefing. He wasn't out there touching. They never went to the convention center. They never went to the Superdome. We had thousands and thousands of people out there who were in tremendous need and in need of leadership, and we just didn't see it."
It's fascinating that there were no the communication was as poor as it was between these people. And Michael Chertoff, you know, he made the statement at one point that he didn't know the storm was going to be so big. If he really didn't know the storm was going to be so big, he had to be the only person in America to think that.
Exactly. I mean, I was sitting in the mountains in Colorado last week or 2 weeks ago, and I knew that the storm was going to be big, and basically, which is why all of us were watching every moment of it on television, glued to it, watching, because it was with tremendous horror, and could not believe what was going on.
And then even the president said, I don't think anybody anticipated the breach of these levees when one engineering study after another showed that would happen in case of a bad storm.
I mean, right, and I think that one of the other things that goes with all of this, I think so many of us at this point just want to talk about it. It is very emotional to us. It is something that we just keep just hitting our foreheads going, how could this have happened? But it has also pointed out so many biggest concerns, and I think something that we became crystal clear was the fact that the people who could least afford the getting out were the ones most at risk, and the more have been the people who have been hurt the most. These are people in poverty, and New Orleans has had such a huge number of people in poverty. They were not given a way out, and they were then, unfortunately, and what was the most pathetic thing of this whole experience has been how they were then treated. Hopefully, our country, the tremendous charity, the tremendous warmth that our nation has been accepting all of these people over the last week or so has been really quite a spectacle to see, something really remarkable to see. But I think that what we need to do is make sure that people in no community have to suffer, will ever suffer again the way these people have.
Well, you know, it's been interesting to me this week to hear the Republican talking points come up over and over again. Of course, you've heard it a million times, too, that we're playing the blame game. It would seem to me that we definitely need to find out as soon as possible to find out what went wrong, where it went wrong, by whom, and so forth, so that we can get better prepared for the next disaster that happens.
Right. I think that, in fact, what Senator Clinton has asked for, which is an independent commission similar to the 911 commission, is the only way that we can do that. And I believe that our Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, Senator Reid, and Leader Pelosi, were absolutely right in their comments about what this administration is trying to do by not getting all the facts out and all the information out and truly doing it in a bipartisan manner, by going behind closed doors and putting together legislation and other and commissions is just not the way to do it. Everything needs to be out front, and people need to have the confidence in our country.
Well, and look how long it took to get a 9/11 commission, a bipartisan 9/11 commission, and for the most part, they did a very good job, but it was like pulling teeth to get them to acquiesce to even having that, and it looks like we're going to go through that again. It looks like if we ever do have an independent investigation of this, they're going to do it kicking and screaming.
I think you're exactly right, and I think the experience that we had with the 9/11 Commission is one that clearly is still fresh on people's minds. For the women who from New Jersey who had been active and really were the catalyst in getting the 9/11 Commission, they have come out, and I've seen statements on their part, actually, saying, there they go again. I mean, I saw a letter to the editor, actually, from Kristen Breitweiser, and one of the other women in New Jersey, one of the widows from 911, basically saying, look, they tried to push the 911 commission under the rug. They cannot do that this time. We can't afford to do that in this.
Absolutely not. The safety and security, which for my way of thinking is the primary responsibility of government, is dependent upon finding out what happened here and correcting any mistakes that we made.
Exactly. One of the this afternoon, I was listening to C-SPAN, actually, as I was driving, and I heard Congressman Benny Thompson from Mississippi do the Democratic response, and one of the tidbits, one of the facts that he stated was the amount of money that was cut out of the last year's budget and this coming budget for Homeland Security as far as communications. And I think that we're talking $400 million last year and $1.2 billion in the year ahead is what the president requested. Cuts. Those are just simply cuts. Those reminded me of a conversation I had earlier this week with a friend of mine who's the mayor of Highland Park, New Jersey. And she has spoken to me about how with the cuts in the COPS programs and the cuts in the in home- Homeland Security dollars to municipalities, we have seen what the lack of communication will do and how critical communications is in getting services and in response out there. And this administration has done a disservice to the American people by cutting our communications budget.
Most certainly, and yet we end up with a $271 million bridge to nowhere in Alaska.
Right. That is as remarkable as it gets. As remarkable as it gets, how that money could be so better utilized, particularly in an instance when the bridge to nowhere in Alaska was for a road that was canceled. It's remarkable.
It really does boggle the mind. Well, we are in a situation right now where we have Michael Brown called back to Washington. We have his direct boss, Michael Chertoff, still running the show in Homeland Security. It appears to me that this is a trail that, it's just malfeasance from one end to the other. And do you think they're going to go ahead and try and push their way through this and maintain that Brown stays ahead of FEMA and Chertoff should stay ahead of Homeland Security?
I believe that Brown is on his way out. I think that every indication is that he's being the allegations about that were in Time Magazine and other publications in the last couple of days about him fixing his resume, the fact that he's clearly shown no leadership and no appropriate managerial experience in this role. I think that the president is going to slowly walk away from this man, and as he walks away, I think that clearly his time has come. On the other hand, I think it is imperative and critical that everyone in this country makes it clear to their legislators and to the president that we need both a Homeland Security Department and with a director who are critically aware of the appropriateness of and the sensitivity that is necessary to run a Homeland Security Department, number one. And number two, that we should recognize the consequences and the costs that are involved with not having that appropriate response. One of the reasons that we have so much concern right now about the future costs and having to spend so much for this tragedy is because we were not prepared to deal with it.
Well, we're paying a terrible price. We as an entire nation are going to pay a horrible price for the unpreparedness that we've shown in this. What can we, I've got just a minute or so before I have to go, what can we in the Democratic Party, what can we do as our part to help this situation?
One of the things that is really phenomenal is that the Democratic National Committee is, if one goes on our website, there are lists and links and all sorts of information for ways to both financially contribute and to volunteer. Each state party across the country, Democratic Party, has issued an email and issued information to their communities on how you can best be involved. I know one of the things that I did, it may sound simple, but I went through under my bathroom sink last night and found every single little toiletry that hadn't been opened and every single kind of toothbrush still in a box or plastic bag, and we have a collection at the DNC that is going down to shelters. I know I live near the Washington D.C. Armory. I live in Maryland, and we have collection points in Maryland for items. I think people need to recognize this is not something that's going away. This is something that's going to be longstanding, and most of these people left homeless are people who are left with nothing, with the clothes on their body, and we need to make sure that they have everything that they can to get back to some sort of semblance of a normal life.
Well, it's going to be a long, long road back to normalcy for these folks, and our hopes and prayers are certainly with them, and I think the inherent goodness of America will come out. We've seen some of the worst the past week and a half, but I think the goodness will show through, as it always does, and we'll take care of these people one way or another.
I think that's right, Guy, and I think that you put it very well.
Susan Turnbull, thank you. Vice Chair of the DNC, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be with us this evening. We really appreciate it.
I appreciated being able to talk. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
A very gracious lady, and a lady that knows her way around Washington, believe me. She knows knows the score in Washington, D.C. She could tell us a lot. She's one of those people that it's fun to sit down with at the table and when the microphones are off and start talking about the real skinny on what goes on behind the scenes in Washington, D.C. Some of it would frighten you. Some of the politics that are practiced in our nation's capital would frighten you. And I'm not saying that we're all innocent in this either. But, you know, it's like this deal, bridge in Alaska. Was it Senator Ted Stevens up there, former governor of Alaska? $271 million, truly, for a bridge that really does go nowhere to an uninhabited island. How can you possibly explain that to your constituency, I wonder? Well, we are glad you're with us tonight. Stay tuned for the second hour. Let me tell you, it's going to be hot and heavy the second hour, and you will not want to miss it, I promise you. And we've got a whole lot to talk about, and you're going to want to hear it. You'll be sorry if you miss it. You're listening to the Guy James Show, WNOG, 1240, 1270 AM. We'll be back.
You've been listening to The Guy James Show, America's number one democratic radio talk show, counteracting the melodrama and sarcasm of the radical right. All that's left is the truth. Stay tuned. More of The Guy James Show is on the way. This is The Guy James Show on Wink WNOG. Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is The Guy James Show.
Helpful marketing tip number 103. If you have a web designer, a graphic designer, and a search engine optimizer, you may be spending a lot more than you're making on your website. Remember that any web designer worth their salt is already an expert graphic designer and an SEO all in one. If not, you may want to consider changing design firms. J2K Productions. We just do it better. Find out how at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
We at The Guy James Show would like to thank the following listeners for their support and welcome them to the growing army of clear-thinking Americans who have contributed to the nation's only listener-supported democratic radio talk show. Heather Wilkes, Mesa, Arizona. Elaine Miller, Newton, Iowa. Virginia Miller, Newton, Iowa. Dr. Irvin Winsboro, Fort Myers, Florida. Valerie Cribbs, Cherry Valley, California. Michael Bradley, Austin, Texas. Steve Brodkin, North Fort Myers, Florida. Ben and Suzanne Williams, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Chris Kern, Hudson, Florida. And Mark Mehef, Reno, Nevada. To join the growing list of those that support The Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135.
Of all the things to focus on, what is it about Bring 'Em On that so arouses them? What is it that so offends them? What is it that so irritates them?
Oh, so you little hangers-on in Iraq, so you're going to threaten our guys? Well, come on. Bring them on. We'll do. This intimidates the Democrats. What is the big deal?
Yes, Mary.
I have a son in Iraq, and I just wanted to tell y'all, my child has a family that loves him, too.
Yes.
His little girl was just born in February. When he gets back here, he'll be on your own. And I'm trying to tell y'all, listen to me, please. You don't understand. We got a child there. I raised my child to be a good person. This is too much for them to die around. In some land that they don't know about, every day I get scared. I just want to tell y'all that.
What is the big deal?
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're gonna like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at Guy James at theguyjamesshow.com.
Helpful marketing tip number 302. Even though you may be paying for full color, the average person can only assimilate four or five easily. Rather than swashing every word, header, or border in every variation of every color in the rainbow, try choosing two or three solid colors either you like or that represent your business and go with those. J2K Productions. We just do it better. Find out how at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is the Guy James Show. Southwest Florida, your official lie detector is here. Now, your wait. Democratic Radio is on the air now.
God bless America.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Now, here's Guy James.
Ah, yes, back with you, and so glad to have each and every one of you this evening along with us. It's great to have you. You know, one of the IM messages that came in, wanted to remind everybody, and I did read this earlier in the week, and I'm glad somebody reminded us of that, Ray Nagin, the mayor of New Orleans, was a Republican, see? He was a Republican, but during his last election, he switched over to Democrat. He saw the handwriting on the wall, so, that's politics. That's how that goes. And regarding our caller we had earlier, and he's a good, courteous caller, Chris, who obviously is a Republican, said, what about these buses? And I thought a lot about that. What about these buses, this question about these buses? Let's just suppose that everything went just right, and the city of New Orleans really did get those buses out, get them started, find drivers for all of them, get them fueled up, find the keys, get them out safe, and the whole business, and loaded them all up. Loaded them up with thousands of poor and frail and elderly people. Got them all loaded up. Where are they going to go with them? Anybody want to tell me? Where? So you got your convoy of 180, 200 school buses. Of course, the right-wingers say it's 2,000 school buses. But that's how things happen to the right-wing. But so they got all these people loaded up, and they're you got this convoy, and they're disabled and elderly people, and they're driving them out of New Orleans. Where are they going to go? Are they going to drop them off one by one as they find motels available? The people don't have any money. Some of the towns along the interstate, they going to be able to take 1,000 or so? No. Some of them have relatives in the area they could go with. They're going to drop them off door to door. You see where this is going? It was a logistical nightmare. And my point here is this school bus deal is a red herring. That's all it was. That's all it ever was. It's a red herring to take everybody's minds off the real problem, and the real problem is George W. Bush and his administration and Homeland Security and FEMA. That's what the real problem is. You can give us a call at 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. We want to hear from you, and I don't know. I want to ask the question. Anybody remember back when Bush was running for re-election, how he and Cheney and their gang kept telling us how they'd done such a good job of keeping us safe? We hadn't been attacked again since 9/11, and everybody do remember that tomorrow is the fourth anniversary of that horrible day in America. And I bet a lot of you probably thought that in those 4 years, subsequently, that we were safer than we were on that day. Let me ask you, after this disaster, do you now think we're safer? You've had a chance to see Homeland Security in action. Do you think we're any safer now? But you remember when they told us that they'd done such a good job of keeping us safe? And I bet some of you have conveniently forgotten about it. So allow me to refresh your memory. Remember, 9/11 was their battle cry. 9/11, 9/11, over and over and over again. Their convention, which was held just a few blocks down the street from Ground Zero, was, if you remember, little more than a Republican cheerleading camp teaching everybody how to say, "Yay, 9/11." And do you remember Rudy Giuliani telling the world, and I think this is the one thing I'll remember the rest of my life from that Republican convention, Rudy Giuliani telling the world that when the attack took place, he was walking down the street near the Twin Towers, and he turned to Bernie Kerik and told him, "Thank God George Bush is our president." Remember that? This was all orchestrated to make those who don't know any better think they'd be forever safe if George W. Bush were reelected as our president. John Kerry was going to get us killed, they said. John Kerry and the Democrats wouldn't keep the American public safe like the Republicans could. And how about Dick Cheney saying the election was... it was simply a choice between life and death for the American people. Dick Cheney said that. Remember, the Republicans were masters of national security, and Democrats just didn't give a damn. That was the message. Absolutely, that was the message. Bush was the defender of all that is right and good, and Kerry was someone who was a traitor who'd sit in the White House and do nothing if we were attacked again. That's the message they put out there again. Really, it went farther than that. They said if Kerry were elected, the terrorists would be happy. Remember that one? Because they knew Kerry wouldn't defend America, the terrorists. I guess they went over and polled the terrorists. Al Jazeera. And they probably talked to bin Laden as well and got his vote on it. Bin Laden? Anybody remember Osama bin... I'll talk about that later. I don't know how well you remember all of this crap they were spewing, but I sure do, and I'll never forgive them for it. So we get Homeland Security, and Bush nominates Bernard Kerik for secretary of that cabinet-level position. The same Bernard Kerik who was on all the news programs this past week telling us what a wonderful job he and Rudy Giuliani did in saving the people of New York. The same Bernard Kerik who had to withdraw his name from the nomination process in disgrace because it came to light he was using an apartment near Ground Zero paid for by the city of New York. So what's wrong with that? Nothing, except the apartment was rented so the police and firemen would have a place to rest in between their long, arduous shifts. But as it turns out, Bernie Kerik wasn't getting much rest in that apartment because he was using it as a meeting place for an extramarital affair. But you see, this is how it is. The right-wingers were forgiving of Bernie for his little indiscretion. And they were so forgiving, in fact, that once again he enjoys a lot of credibility with them in the press, as evidenced by his appearances last week. Bernie's forgiven of his extramarital affair. Rudy Giuliani is forgiven for his much-publicized extramarital affair. But Bill Clinton, never, 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 never. He's hated by the right for the Lewinsky affair, but it's okay for Kerik and Giuliani. It's so okay that they're probably going to run Giuliani for president and never mention the whole deal. Ah, the smell of hypocrisy in the morning. I love it so. So now Kerik is the darling of the press again, and he's on the tube all week long telling us how we need Rudy Giuliani to take charge of New Orleans, like we're supposed to ever have any faith again in a Bush appointee after learning about his appointments at FEMA. It turns out that the leader of FEMA was appointed to that post having no qualifications whatsoever. None, nada, nothing. His last job before that was judging horses. That's right, judging horses. In fact, right after taking the office, Bush filled FEMA with clowns just like Michael Brown. Inexperienced, completely unqualified, but with all of them, with political ties to George W. Bush, and I believe the assistant director of FEMA's qualifications are that he was once a driver for Bush when he was governor of Texas. Now, there's some fine, fine qualifications right there. That does make you feel safe, doesn't it? I'm sure it does. And did you see NBC's Brian Williams talking about interviewing Brownie about the problem at the Superdome? I'm sure a lot of you saw Brian Williams. He said Brown seemed clueless, and so Williams suggested that they get, and all of us were sitting at home pounding on the table suggesting this, get a damn Chinook copter to drop some supplies into the dome. And Brown says something to the effect, do you think that'll work? Duh. So do you feel safer knowing that if we have another terrible disaster caused by terrorists, it'll get the same fine response as the folks in New Orleans got? Makes you feel real good, doesn't it? I know I'll sure sleep better tonight. Lots better. We're going to go to Joe in Fort Myers. Hi, Joe.
How you doing?
Fine.
I think you guys should get over it. You know, the American.
What are we supposed to get over? This thing was happened 12 days ago. We should get over it?
No, you should get over the fact that the American public has rejected your socialist democrat agenda.
Oh, here we go. We're talking about Bush's disaster.
Bush is president. Get over it. Okay.
That's what you got to say, Joe?
Well, I've got much more to say.
Go ahead and say it. Why don't you go ahead and say
you
it, Joe?
You guys have fell on your face on every possible ramification of everything going back to Clinton, going back. I mean, please.
Clinton's administration was a disaster. You want to explain that to me?
Oh my God! Are you kidding? Everything from selling secrets to the Chinese.
Okay, let's stop right there, Joe. We're going to have a two-way conversation, Joe, or we're not going to talk. Joe, give me your proof that Clinton sold secrets to the Chinese.
Geez, everybody but you and your friends don't know it.
Joe, no, I'm waiting for your proof. Let's have it. If everybody knows, you should be well-versed on it. Tell me what it is.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you exactly what happened with that when you tell me exactly
I ask you a simple question. You seem to know all about Bush, quote, selling secrets to the Chinese. I ask you, and you said everybody but me knows it. Fill me in. How did he sell secrets to the Chinese? Give me your proof.
Sold the secrets to the Chinese for the guidance systems for the...
What's your proof of that, Joe? You got an eyewitness there?
Oh, geez, you're going to play that, are you?
No, I'm not going to play that, Joe. I'm asking you a simple question. How do you know that?
Well, how do you know anything? Too?
Joe, I'm asking. You're the one that said he sold secrets to the Chinese, Joe. You're the one that made the statement. I'm simply asking for your proof. What is it?
There's your trick.
No, it's no trick, Joe. I ask you a simple question. You made the statement that Clinton sold secrets to the Chinese, and you said everybody knows it but me. I'm sure you must have... plenty of references and plenty of knowledge about this. So tell me, what is it?
Well, here's my knowledge. I know that I didn't see Clinton spray sperm all over the White House, but everybody knows it. Okay, so that same kind of logic.
And that is germane to this conversation in what way?
Well, it's germane in.
Has that got anything to do with the Chinese getting secrets sold to them by Bill? You know, Joe. You know where you're going with this, Joe. You called up and you made an accusation, and you got no backing for it whatsoever, do you? I'm dealing with it intellectually, Joe. You told me you made a statement. All I'm doing, Joe, is asking for your proof.
I'm dealing in logic, the same logic.
No, Joe, there's no logic to selling secrets to the Chinese because you made it up, Joe.
I didn't make it up.
You did make it up. You've got no proof.
Everybody knows it. Why do you think?
No, everybody doesn't know it, Joe, because it's simply not true. It's Rush Limbaugh propaganda, Joe.
You want to dwell on this, don't you?
Well, Joe, I didn't bring it up. You brought it up.
I brought it up, and you can't deal with it.
I am dealing with it, Joe. I'm asking you. I'm asking you for your proof, Joe. And you know what, Joe? You know what? You know what, Joe? 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 You want to know what? Joe, you want to know what? You can talk all you want to, Joe. I got the button here, okay? Joe, you've called up and made a total ass of yourself. Joe, you've called up and made accusations that you can't back up. Now you sound like Hannity. You sound like Limbaugh. You sound like all the right-wing goons. You sound just like that fat-ass drug addict Limbaugh when you make a statement that Clinton sold secrets to the Chinese. Well, how do you know that, Joe? Well, blah, 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 blah. You sound just like all of them. Joe... You called this program and made a complete ass of yourself, and you know what you did, Joe? You know what you did? You made the rest of your friends, maybe some of your right-wing friends, some of them that got a brain in their head, maybe think, gee whiz, maybe I don't have any proof for that. Maybe I did hear that unfounded rumor from somebody. Gee, what do you know? Maybe someone told me a lie. You know, Joe, that is so pitiful of what you did. I got a feeling he's the one that's been sending the email all week about the Chinese secrets. I got a feeling he's the one. If he isn't, it must be his stupid brother, his brother Joe. Does it not fascinate the rest of you that a guy calls here and makes an act? And I didn't bring it up. You heard the conversation. I didn't mention one word about secrets to the Chinese. And all I do is ask for proof of one thing that he said. Never mind the rest of the horse crap that he was trying to pull. I could have schooled him. I could have schooled him. Of course, we could school him all day long because obviously the guy doesn't have a brain in his head because the only thing he's capable of is spewing the right-wing lies he's heard on right-wing radio all day, every day. And you corner one of these guys and ask him for a fact, and what do they do? Yeah. You showed your intelligence, Joe. You showed the intelligence of your average right-wing Republican. You're exactly equal to your average right-wing Republican, Joe. Dumber than a rock. All right, let's go back to the phones and maybe talk to somebody who's intelligent. Let's go to Bill in Fort Myers. Hi, Bill.
How you doing, Mr. James?
Good.
I am a Republican, but unfortunately, you know, as every side, we've got people like that talking for us. I called to talk about the hurricane. I think he was talking about the Wenho Lee from the Los Alamos situation. It was never definitively proven or anything really settled. So it's one of those things where you just throw out the accusation and that's supposed to be enough. You know, when it comes to spy secrets and everything like that, as Joe Average American, I don't really want to know, because if I know that a lot of people that mean harm to our country know.
Yeah.
So I think there was probably some sort of an amenable solution there. You know, let's not act like we're not spying on the Chinese. I don't understand why people get outraged when other countries send spies over here. I mean, I think we do have our own spy service. And
everybody's spying on everybody.
Exactly. I mean, Israel spies on us, and we spy on Israel, and we're great allies, you know?
I just wanted to make the point that Bill Clinton didn't meet in the back alley over at a couple blocks from the White House
and take 60 bucks
for these things, you know?
Like I said, I'm a Republican. I very rarely agree with you, but I don't agree with that whatsoever. I mean, you're trying to paint the picture of, you know, deep throat in a parking garage exchanging nuclear missile secrets. It's ridiculous.
What's on your mind about the hurricane tonight, Bill?
I think that a lot more accountability actually should be placed on the shoulders of the mayor of New Orleans and the governor of Louisiana. I've done a lot of reading on this. I went to the University of Southern Mississippi in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. I used to live in New Orleans. A lot of friends down there.
Been there. They got to keep that eagle in that big old cage down there in southern Mississippi.
Yeah, we weren't even getting to the eagle. I was going to school there. Somebody from a rival school actually shot it with a shotgun.
I heard that.
And the sad part about it is that's not what killed it. Lead poisoning is. But, it's horrible. But on the subject of the accountability, I hate to say it, but the national director of the Hurricane Service called up the governor of Louisiana, called up the mayor of New Orleans, basically anybody to get on the phone with in a position of authority on Friday before the storm hit on Monday, and did tell them, you are going to get the big one, yet the evacuation order didn't come until Sunday, even though their own evacuation plan that they did put together definitively said it was going to take 72 hours to evacuate. Now, I can understand their position. I mean, if it totally veers away and doesn't even hit, they're going to have a lot of very angry constituents that uprooted themselves for no reason whatsoever. And that's the game you play when you go for the big job. I understand that. But once again, when we're talking about human lives, I think we got to err on the side of caution. You know, we got hit by a pretty bad hurricane in our area here last year, Hurricane Charlie, and we didn't have the flooding, very true, but we did have a lot of devastation, and we didn't have the same problem. I think that they just were asleep at the switch and expect the federal government to come running into the rescue. And where I will agree with you is that FEMA wasn't up to the task.
Well, and you know, the timeline went that on Friday, Blanco declared a state of emergency, and then on Saturday she asked Bush to declare a federal state of emergency in Louisiana. And it's very true that the mayor, he executed a mandatory evacuation of New Orleans at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday, I believe was the time. And, you know, at that time he was saying, well,
it's too late.
This is the big one coming.
It's just too late. I mean, you've seen the pictures of the cars that were on the bridges that people just literally had to abandon and seek any kind of shelter because they were trying to evacuate too late.
Yeah, and let me make the point, Bill, and I've made it before this evening. I do not hold the mayor and the governor of Louisiana and the mayor of New Orleans blameless in this. I do not.
Okay, that's good to hear.
I won't do that because I've seen mistakes, quite honestly, that I think they made, and there is little question about it. But I do want to stick with the point that ultimately the federal
government... Ultimately, you have to be able to have the federal government to come in with the white hats on the horses and come to the rescue. If everything else breaks down, you have to be able to count on the fact that they can do that. And I agree. I mean, I don't know Mike Brown personally, but from everything I've read, obviously he wasn't the man for the job. And I think that is absolutely the thing that Democrats will get Bush with. But the problem I have is that they yell so loud about that because they're trying to cover up the shortcomings of their own leaders. I mean, like I said, I used to live in New Orleans, and I'm sorry, that was the most corrupt police force in the history of the planet. It's called the NOPD. You know what they call it there?
No.
NOPD.
Supposedly it's better now.
Well, it is better.
They had a new chief go in and all that.
Because you still had 300 officers just bail.
Yeah.
Just see you later, bye. All for myself.
Well, I really...
Their excuses made, well, they only make this much a year, so they shouldn't be expecting...
No,
come on, you took the job, you do the job.
Yeah, that's right. No, I don't want to hold them blameless. I won't. I think when it finally comes down to it, that the blame ball, or whatever you want to call it, the buck, has got to land on somebody's desk. And I just think that FEMA probably was the biggest culprit in the whole thing.
Well, here's the mystery, though, Mr. James. We got hit by four hurricanes in Florida last year.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally went through three of them just out of dumb luck. I evacuated out of Clearwater, Florida, where I was living for a year because Charlie was coming to Pinellas County,
mm-hmm.
Got down to Fort Myers, and I got hit. My dumb luck. Went through Francis, went through Gene. We handled all four of them. We handled all four of them. I mean, this state was just, at one point, you remember, it was in shambles. We handled all four of them. I remember when the president was coming down to Florida after the hurricanes, and you know what he was doing? He was taking a tour. And the emergency directors and the governor, I'm sorry, I'm sure he's not a fan, you're not a fan of his, but Jeff, they were showing him, this is what we're doing here, this is what we're doing there, this is what we're doing here. The president should not have to personally manage these type of things. He's got a pretty big job. And in Florida, with four hurricanes, now you can do all the numbers games you want to. Well, they had a Category 5. You know, we had a Category 4 and a Category 2, and whatever you want to do. Ivan was pretty bad also. We handled it. We got through it. The president came down, took a tour, saw everybody was doing their job, and that was it.
Well, here's the big difference.
Here's the silver bullet, Mr. James.
Yeah.
And I'd gladly let you respond to what I'm going to say. In the news press today, Wayne Saladay, and I'm sorry, but there's very few people that you can listen to that can speak with such authority on the subject of hurricanes. The Charlotte County Emergency Management Director, there's an article in the news press today that he said, you will see that it was the breakdown in state and local that caused this to happen. That is the guy. He's been there. He's been in the storm. He's done it.
Well, he also took care of some storms when FEMA was here an hour after the storm was in on site. Some of them on site 1 hour after Charlie hit.
You respect his opinion, though, on how things are supposed to be run after a storm.
Well,
I can respect his
opinion in as much as one must remember his bent politically. I will say that.
I think when you've been through what that guy went through last year, I mean, look at the damage the building he was in had during Charlie. When you go through that, political kind of goes out the window when you personally dealt with that kind of suffering and those people going, I have nothing. What am I supposed to do?
Well, I think it goes out the window. I think it goes out the window at the time, but later on is when it catches up. And just like the Red Cross this week, the Red Cross, first of all, said that they weren't allowed in by FEMA and the National Guard. And
oh, then, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and then she went on Larry King's show after they had a few days to think about it, and then she said, no, that's not what happened. It was the state people. So she had a chance to get her political hat on. Got to move, Bill. Got a board full of callers here.
By the way, real quick, the mayor of New Orleans the entire time when no help was showing up was in a Marriott hotel 200 yards away from the Superdome.
Hmm.
All he had to do was go talk to his constituents and try to call him.
Yeah.
Giuliani did do that.
All right.
Just so you know, that's what he was.
Thanks for your call.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't hold those people blameless. Never claimed it did. I wouldn't probably vote for the mayor of New Orleans again. Probably not a chance. We're going to pause for a break right now, and we're going to be right back, so don't go anywhere.
This is the Guy James Radio Network.
Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is the Guy James Show.
You have a product. You have a service. You want to tell people about your product or service, but you're afraid of being taken down a long road of expenses with no ride back. I'm Johnny Johnson, president of J2K, producers of The Guy James Show. Every week, we're called on to help businesses present their products and services to consumers by radio, video, and web. Businesses like yours. Visit us on the web at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're going to like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com.
Of all the things to focus on, what is it about Bring 'Em On that so arouses them? What is it that so offends them? What is it that so irritates them? Oh, so you little hangers-on in Iraq, so you're going to threaten our guys? Well, come on. Bring them on. We'll do. This intimidates the Democrats. What is the big deal?
Yes, Mary.
I have a son in Iraq, and I just wanted to tell y'all, my child has a family that loves him, too.
Yes.
His little girl was just born in February. When he get back here, he'll be on your own. I'm trying to tell y'all, listen to me, please. You don't understand. We got a child there. I raised my child to be a good person. This is too much for them to die with. In some land that they don't know about, every day I get scared. I just want to tell y'all that.
What is the big deal?
We at The Guy James Show would like to thank the following listeners for their support and welcome them to the growing army of clear-thinking Americans who have contributed to the nation's only listener-supported Democratic radio talk show. Heather Wilkes, Mesa, Arizona. Elaine Miller, Newton, Iowa. Virginia Miller, Newton, Iowa. Dr. Irvin Winsboro, Fort Myers, Florida. Valerie Cribbs, Cherry Valley, California. Michael Bradley, Austin, Texas. Steve Brodkin, North Fort Myers, Florida. Mike DeAngelis, San Jose, California. Chris Kern, Hudson, Florida. And Mark Mieheft, Reno, Nevada. To join the growing list of those that support The Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135. Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're going to like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com. Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is The Guy James Show. Southwest Florida, your official lie detector is here. Now, your wait is over. This is the Guy James Show. Commercials off. Commercials off. This is the Guy James Show on the Democrat Radio Network.
Oh, yeah, back with you with the Guy James Show. I'm so glad to have all of you along with us, all of you local folks here up and down the west coast of Florida, and, of course, all of our friends on the Internet all around the world. We're going to talk about one of our friends halfway around the world in Norway in just a little while. I promised to read you a letter from Norway. You're going to love this. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. I will get back to your calls in just one moment. But one of the things I wanted to emphasize tonight was the tremendous compassion by your average Republican guy. Let me say your average Republican Joe this week. And I think nobody personifies this better than former First Lady Barbara Bush. Give me that cut of Barbara Bush, will you?
And so many of the people in the arenas here, you know, were underprivileged anyway. This is working very well for them.
Oh, it's working so well for them. Can you believe that? So Babs Bush says the displaced New Orleanians have it good. Ah, yes, sweet, lovable, compassionate Barbara Bush. She's done it again. I think she, Ron's over there screaming in the control room after he heard that. I think she and her family are living proof that being a sociopath is hereditary. I think she really, and I doubt there's ever been a family so powerful with so little regard for their fellow man. I mean, these people, especially Babs Bush, they're a sorry lot, and I wish that old hag would just go away from public life. And, you know, I can't stand the sight of her, and frankly, I know some of you younger folks won't know what I'm talking about, but I'd rather have Lizzie Borden as my mother than that old bat. I really would.
And so many of the people in the arenas here, you know, were underprivileged anyway. This is working very well for them.
Oh, yes, it's working so well. They love being in there, and they got new clothes, and they got new toothbrushes, and they each got some toothpaste, and all the kitties got some dry cereal to eat. And they're doing so well. They got it much better than they had it at home. You know, you see this kind of thing from the compassionate conservatives, and you got to look at it from their perspective. You really do, and I try and put myself in their shoes. And so, you know, property all along the Gulf of Mexico has become ridiculously overpriced, even within below sea level cities with poor levees like New Orleans. Property's expensive, and all along what we call the Redneck Riviera, Florida, and into Alabama, the luxury developments are popping up, complete with private beaches and guardhouses, no matter where you look, all along the coast up there, and our coast too. So, well, you know, why not, looking at it from the right winger's perspective, why not take advantage of nature's clear cutting and make New Orleans a greater city, as Mr. Bush suggested? The best way I can think of is to make New Orleans a more welcoming, you know, more welcoming place for white folks. More condos and more gated communities with fewer slums than the poor black people. Get those poor black people out of that town. You know, that's the best thing you could possibly do for it. It'd be so much better if you just didn't let any of those nasty people come back into town. I won't say it real loud because I don't want my neighbors to hear, but, you know, that's how I really feel. You know, New Orleans is wasted on those poor black people who really can't appreciate good culture when they see it. You know, an influx of clean white people will bring money and stability and a quick response from every possible governmental agency. Really, that's how they see it. Some of them have just as much as well admitted it this week. Really. Let's go to Juanita in Winter Haven.
Hello.
Hi, Juanita.
Hi. I'd like to say something about Bush and President Al Gore.
Yes.
I wish. God, I wish. But one thing about President Bush that says a lot is he issued an executive order Thursday allowing federal contractors, which is Halliburton, that are rebuilding it in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, to pay below the prevailing wage. Didn't that say a lot about him?
Didn't take long, did it? So if any of those poor black folks down there do get jobs and help and rebuild, they're not going to get the prevailing wage.
Well, maybe it's going to bring the Mexicans over here.
Well, you know,
whatever.
You wouldn't want to give those darkies too much money, you know. They just go around and just spend it on worthless trinkets anyway.
Well, there's one in Apex City.
Yeah, you know, they just buy spare ribs and all that kind of stuff with it, and there'd be them spare rib bones laying all. You know, you give that money to those black people.
Well,
there.
It's a good thing that they did make those spare ribs, because what else would Bush have to eat? He sure does like his barbecue.
That's right, he does. But you know, they just these.
And I would like to say one thing about the bus situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now the chief of police of New Orleans said that they did use city buses because they were air-conditioned. They didn't use the other because so many frail people on a school bus. Now, you know, that's what he told on CNN.
Yeah.
Whether he's lying or not, I don't know. And I never heard of the mayor before, but I do admire him for what he said, because we have so few people that speak for our side. You know, the Republican that called you before the other one, the one that, you know, you couldn't talk to, he's one of those I got you guys.
Oh, yeah.
He's, you know, that's all he's interested in.
But don't ask him a question.
But the second guy, you know, was reasonable, but he was adamant in what he believed,
yeah.
And that's his right.
That's
you know.
Right. That's right. Hey, I got to move on, Juanita.
Right to believe what we believe, too.
That's right.
Can I just tell you one thing about Al Gore?
Yeah.
He was speaking in Portland, Oregon. There were so many people there. The people knocked on the door. They were outside. So he had a second show. It was about the global warming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did. He's a good guy. And he goes down there and hauls a couple plane loads of people out of New Orleans.
Yeah.
No photo ops, no interviews, no nothing.
And I wish he was our president.
He was just acting like a good president should.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your call, Juanita.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Going to head on up to New Jersey, Arlene.
Hi.
Hi, Arlene.
I'm calling because, what we all saw was one of the worst tragedies we could possibly see. But I went through the 94 Northridge earthquake in the valley north of Los Angeles. And that was under Clinton and James Lee Witt. And I just want you to know that they did the most incredible job. They defied anything that I could have thought was possible.
Well, James Lee Witt was a pro.
They were on the ground, on our streets, within a couple hours. Of course, we didn't have water, but we had gas exploding in the streets, and apartment buildings collapsed everywhere. Grocery stores collapsed. Our homes collapsed. But they were walking on our streets within a couple hours. They had people there checking to make sure gas was shut off. They made sure that we had water. They made sure that our homes were checked within days. I mean, my house was red tagged and was uninhabitable. They came in within 2 days and they checked it and said we had to be out. Now, we also did have looters. My husband, my son, and I slept in our backyard for almost 3 months on our mattresses because of the looters.
Yeah, you've got your bad apples everywhere.
In this country or anywhere else that you don't have some looters.
That's right.
And anybody that thinks otherwise is foolish and stupid.
Yeah. Arlene, thanks so much for your call. It's good to hear from your personal experience. I really appreciate hearing from you.
Well, it was very painful watching what these people went through.
It certainly was.
And God bless them.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
One of my listeners let me know, and I wanted to let Joe know, and I knew this. I don't know. Sometimes you can't keep everything in your head. The Chinese gentleman he talked to, Wen Ho Lee, who was accused of selling his secrets to the Chinese, he was completely exonerated. There was nothing to that charge whatsoever. So, Joe, you can believe the accusations as you want, but you ought to stick around long enough to see the dispensation of a case and how it goes. See, that's the trouble. I can accuse you of something horrible, but if you didn't do it, why, you need to stick around and find out, you know, the end result. We're going to go to John in Naples. Hi, John.
Hey, James. How you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to break down my version of why Bush really is, in the long run, the reason for the breakdown in community control in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Have at it.
Well, FEMA, as most people know, is now a part of the Department of Homeland Security, which all the former departments that were separate that are now a part of it have so much red tape and run by themselves that Bush really does, so that he doesn't have to have accountability, that it's the system that he set up to fall apart.
I can't disagree
obvious.
With that.
Just,
yeah.
Just have somebody else deal with the problem, and then I'll just do my walkthrough a couple days later and hug some people on TV.
Yeah, it was just another wall that was put in place, another door that everybody had to walk through.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, Matt, it's funny because Republicans are supposed to stand for us, less government in people's lives. In the last 4 years, they've created more government than we have ever seen.
Oh, you're so right, and thank you for bringing that up. That is absolutely true. They've always said they wanted to be for smaller government, and government has never thrived like it has during these last few years.
Yeah, it's thrived, so where do you want to use?
Yeah, thrive.
But the other thing I wanted to say is I lived in Louisiana when I was younger, but old enough to know what was going on from age 10 to age 12. And people in my town have made comments about, oh, well, look what black people do when something happens in their town. It's not a black issue, it's a poor issue. I've never, ever in my entire life been in a poorer city than New Orleans, and I've been in most major cities in this country. And the divide between the people that live in the business district and the west side of the river, which is, you know, the quote-unquote black side, is so disgustingly wide that it's obvious that this would have happened when something like this did happen.
Yeah. Yeah,
well. It pisses me off to no end that they say that it's a black issue. You know, the same thing happened in Russia when communism started to fall apart. You know, crime started to rule the streets, and all those people are white.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I couldn't agree with you more. John, thanks so much for your call.
Yeah, keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you. Man speaks common sense, doesn't he? Going to go to Abigail in San Antonio, Texas, site of many, many of the displaced people right now. Hi, Abigail.
Hello. I'm an ER nurse in San Antonio and have received a number of evacuees. I think their understanding was that they all gathered in one place, that the federal aid, when it was forthcoming, would come to them. You know, I had people tell me they stood on the streets with their hands in the air, so the police and others would not think they were threatening.
Oh, my.
The people that were, there was such a delay in the time that these people were picked up and brought to medical attention. I had people who were on dialysis who hadn't been dialyzed for a week. Medical stories are just horrible.
Wow. You know, Abigail, you bring up an interesting point about the people with their hands in the air. Little did I know after seeing this unfold on TV that I would get a personal message from someone who was involved that was there. I think a lot of people remember these people that were stranded on top of the overpass, several hundred people that couldn't get any help. And they had first been to the convention center, and I received an email from a gentleman who was there. And,
oh, absolutely.
They received word that they should go to the convention center. So they went to the convention center, and by then some National Guard troops were there and some FEMA folks were there and said, can't take you, get out of here. You can walk 2 miles and you can be out of this whole mess. Head on down the road. So they started walking down the road, and just like the Wizard of Oz story, they gathered more people as they went, and they had a crowd of about 800 people. And when they came down off the overpass, they were walking into the city of... Now one of the suburbs, and I can't think of the name of it, but it's a white suburb. And they came down, and the road was barricaded. They had they had the road barricaded. They had police armed that fired shots over their heads and said, "Do not proceed. You are not walking through our town." And
yes,
they
Quebec
made
told me these stories.
Made them turn around and go back. I can't imagine
yeah,
that.
That they were literally locked in to the
yes.
convention center in the dome. But you know, without water, food, and medicine.
Yeah.
You know, in spite of all the blame of Ray Nagin, I mean, I did hear him on a radio show the very next day, you know, begging for assistance, you know, that was not forthcoming. And, you know, what the evacuees told me is that, you know, they were essentially instructed to go to a central location where they wouldn't drown, and that, you know, the government was on the way. FEMA was on the way.
Well, I certainly hope these people get the care and help that they need now, and you're a part of that.
The hilarity, though, that $2,000 is enough to
yeah.
start your life after you lost everything.
Did any of them impart to you the word I got that for that $2,000 debit card, they were asking them to sign a waiver that they would seek no more redress in this whole business?
I was told that by several patients, yes.
Oh.
And those that could be contacted. Of course, a lot of the patients had no contact with anyone. They were still searching for their families and still are.
That sounds like something an insurance
yeah,
company would do, make you sign
off.
Their
medicines were washed away, too, and they're, I mean, $2,000 won't even pay for the medications that some of these people were on. Oh, my God.
I can't imagine where someone like you and the folks in your profession would even start with some of these people. Up until recently, I was on some medications, and sometimes I would go in for a checkup or something at another doctor, and they'd ask me my medication. Well, shoot, I didn't know all of them and names and dosage and stuff. I just, like a trained monkey, doing what I was supposed
yeah.
to do every day. And you must run into a lot of patients that don't have an idea as to the dosages and all that sort of thing.
Very true.
Oh, my. I can't imagine being in healthcare and having to be so careful with that sort of thing and yet not wanting them to do without. I've heard wonderful stories about folks in your profession, hand-respirating people whose respirators did not work. I've heard one heroic story after another, and I thank you and everybody in your profession who's had the wonderful compassion and hard work to help out in this terrible situation.
Thank you. Go nurses.
Go nurses, you bet. My daughter's a nurse, and that's a wonderful profession, and I thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
Well, let me see. Where are we at here time-wise? Let's go on up to Alice in Milford, Massachusetts. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Guy.
Nice to have you with us this evening.
I was calling because up here in Massachusetts at Otis Air Force Base on Cape Cod, we recently had 207 people come in two different flights to get away from down there. But these people were not told where they were going until they actually got on the plane, and there was space in the at Otis for 2,500 people, but a lot of people didn't want to go because they didn't know where they were going to end up, and they didn't want to be that far away from home.
And you can understand their trepidation about that. You certainly can.
They should have been at least told before getting on the plane that they were going to Massachusetts, and they weren't.
I saw three gentlemen being interviewed outside the Armory in Washington, D.C., three New Orleanian gentlemen, and they asked each one of them, "Did you know where you were going?" He said, "Had no idea. Had no idea where they were going." And, you know, have you ever been to Washington, D.C. before? No. Are you going to stay here? Absolutely not. I'm going back to New Orleans. Every one of them said that. So I can't imagine telling these folks where they're...
And I hate to think of the people that were in the hospital. I mean, I'm about 2 years out from having had a liver transplant, but I still need my medication.
Oh, yes.
And the one medication is not available at all hospitals. It's a special anti-rejection drug, and mine gets sent to me and paid for by the government, which is fortunate for me, but these people that need that drug because they've had transplants are probably in real serious trouble right about now.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, a lot of the folks that didn't die were literally on death's door by the time that help did get to them. My heart breaks for a lot of those people. I like so many of you, like so many of Americans, we didn't care where the blame was. We just wanted to get them some help and you know, that any compassionate person would do. And
yeah, I don't have much money because I'm on Social Security, but I did donate to AmeriCare, which is primarily a group that does water purification for people and does medications.
Very good. Thank you, Alice. It's so good to hear from you.
Okay.
Don't we get some great callers here on the show? We sure do. And we've got the very educated callers on as well. I love to hear from the folks. I was reminded, and again, talking about all my, many of my listeners are very, very smart and very well tuned to what's going on right now. I was reminded about a statement a gentleman made, a very considerate and very pleasant gentleman. He called early. We disagreed on some things, but talking about the response here in Florida. Well, first of all, the response here in Florida was handled totally different. The FEMA was here immediately, and don't forget, this is the President of the United States' brother's state, and FEMA folks were on the ground almost immediately and started passing out money. And don't forget, FEMA passed out a lot of money here in Florida to people that didn't qualify for it. In fact, now they're trying to get it back from an enormous number of folks over in Miami that claimed they lost TV sets and they didn't get anything but a hard rain. And but they were on duty within hours here, and we witnessed that. We know that. And I rather imagine, since it was Jeb Bush talking to George Bush, I think that did help cut some of the red tape. I don't think there's any question about that. We've got a line open, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. I hear people call the program, and now and then their enormous respect and their loyalty to George W. Bush just comes through, and they're not going to admit. One of the things that bothers me most of all is these people won't admit a mistake on the part of these guys ever. They just won't admit it. They've made up their minds that, by God, I'm not going to say anything no matter what. Now, you know, somebody made the comment Bush could eat babies on live TV, and these people would say, well, that's all right. They'd find a way. Would someone please tell me? Please tell me. I've been looking for the answer for this for a long, long time. You want to tell me just what it is that makes you loyal to Junior Bush? I want to know the answer to that. What has he done in his entire life that caused you to have such undying allegiance toward him? Has there been something I've missed? Because try as I might, I cannot find anything in his background that would cause any thinking person to idolize him, as some of you obviously do. A very small percentage of you do now, I will say that. You know, forget his business career. We all know what a disaster that was. Forget his tenure as governor of Texas. We all know Texas will elect anybody who loves to execute people. Let's just take a look at his record while he's occupied the White House. Gas prices have more than doubled, and that's after Bush bragged during his campaign for president that he knew how to talk to the Saudis. The economy's down and out for the vast majority of citizens of the United States, and those at the top of the income scale have prospered, but the rest of the population have really taken the shaft. Income's down, except for the richest among us. Those facts just came out this week. Bush's war has really turned into a no-win situation, no matter how you look at it. Osama bin Laden, remember him? Still on the loose. Afghanistan is returning to its former ways with the Taliban taking control and drug sales reaching an all-time high. We've alienated most of our allies and bullied the rest of them. And now we look like a third world nation to a lot of them in our response to this disaster. We've got record deficits with no end in sight. Our kids and grandkids are going to be paying for Bush's follies for forever and ever more. Many of our citizens have died while Bush ate cake last week and played golf and generally did nothing while trusting a totally incompetent to run FEMA and the Homeland Security. Iraq had no WMDs and was no threat to us whatsoever. So tell me, please, Mr. Bush and those of you that follow it, what is it? What is it that causes so many people, down to 38% now, to blindly follow the lead of Mr. George W. Bush? I've been looking for the answer to that for almost 5 years, and the studio audience says his love of pretzels. I knew that was coming, and all the bicycle riders love him as well. I'm supposed to say something about this AOL Instant Messenger, AIM, Guy James Show. You can send a... Yeah, if some of you folks want to comment and you don't want to call the show, just feel free. AOL Instant Messenger, Guy James Show, and we'll talk to you. We sure will. I'm not going to go back to the phone right this minute because it would be such a short conversation, and I want to give everybody your just dues here on the program. So we'll wait till after the top of the hour to get back to you on the phone. I've got a letter to read this next hour that is going to curl your toes. It's not a mean letter, I don't think, but it's a very sobering letter that we received by our friend Kent from Norway. And it's very interesting in these times to read what people in other places think about what's going on in this country. Sometimes it's not so nice to see what's going on in other places. Other countries have witnessed this whole debacle on TV these past 12 days or so, seen some obvious ugly racism rear its ugly head. I'm ashamed. I thought that was something that'd be gone in my lifetime. I really did, but I'm beginning to think it's going to be my lifetime and somebody else's before racism's gone in this country. We can hope. You are listening to The Guy James Show, 1240 AM, 1270 AM, Fort Myers in Naples, Florida. We're so glad to have you with us this evening. We hope you'll stick around for this last hour because we've got a whole lot more to come. And believe me, you don't want to miss this last hour of the program. We've got some radical things to talk about, so come on back after this.
You've been listening to The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic radio talk show, counteracting the melodrama and sarcasm of the radical right. All that's left is the truth. Stay tuned. More of The Guy James Show is on the way. This is The Guy James Show on Wink WNOG.
Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is The Guy James Show.
You have a product. You have a service. You want to tell people about your product or service, but you're afraid of being taken down a long road of expenses with no ride back. I'm Johnny Johnson, president of J2K, producers of The Guy James Show. Every week, we're called on to help businesses present their products and services to consumers by radio, video, and web. Businesses like yours. Visit us on the web at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're gonna like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com.
Of all the things to focus on, what is it about Bring 'Em On that so arouses them? What is it that so offends them? What is it that so irritates them?
Oh, so you little hangers-on in Iraq, so you're going to threaten our guys? Well, come on.
Bring them on. We'll do. This intimidates the Democrats. What is the big deal?
Yes, Mary.
I have a son in Iraq, and I just wanted to tell y'all, my child has a family that loves him, too.
Yes.
His little girl was just born in February. When he get back here, he'll be on your own. I'm trying to tell y'all, listen to me, please. You don't understand. You got a child there. I raised my child to be a good person. This is too much for them to die away in some land that they don't know about. Every day I get scared. I just want to tell y'all that.
What is the big deal.
We at the Guy James Show would like to thank the following listeners for their support and welcome them to the growing army of clear-thinking Americans who have contributed to the nation's only listener-supported Democratic radio talk show. Heather Wilkes, Mesa, Arizona. Elaine Miller, Newton, Iowa. Virginia Miller, Newton, Iowa. Dr. Irvin Winsboro, Fort Myers, Florida. Valerie Cribbs, Cherry Valley, California. Michael Bradley, Austin, Texas. Steve Brodkin, North Fort Myers, Florida. Mike DeAngelis, San Jose, California. Chris Kern, Hudson, Florida. And Mark Mihef, Reno, Nevada. To join the growing list of those that support the Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135.
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're gonna like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at GuyJames@TheGuyJamesShow.com. Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at TheGuyJamesShow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is The Guy James Show.
Southwest Florida, your official lie detector is here. Now, your wait is over. This is The Guy James Show. Democratic Radio is on the air now.
Your country can do for you.
I have a dream today.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Now here's Guy James.
Ah, yes. Don't go away for this last hour. It's going to be hot and heavy. We got some serious things to talk about this hour. We're going to take your calls, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. We got a board full right now, but keep trying. You can get in. I'm sure you can. We're going to talk about that gentleman that told Mr. Cheney off. Well, Mr. Cheney went down there the other day. I got some great comments about him. We're going to talk about the timeline of this whole... Oh, there's our Darth Vader sound. Darth Vader Cheney. That's good. That's good, Johnny. I like that. Let's have that again. And while we're at it, while we're talking about compassionate conservatives, Dick Cheney, let's have that cut of our illustrious right-wing, good Christian, Philadelphia, I call him some other names, right-wing crazy radio host, Glenn Beck, showing us the very finest in compassionate conservatism. There we go.
Let me be real honest with you, and I don't think anybody on talk radio, I don't think anybody in their right mind is going to ever say this out loud, but I wonder if I'm the only one that feels this way. Yesterday, when I saw the ATM cards being handed out, the $2,000 ATM cards, and they were being handed out at the Astrodome, and they actually had to close the Astrodome and seal it off for a while because there was a near riot trying to get to these ATM cards. My first thought was, I mean, you can't just sit down and wait. I mean, it's not like they're going to run out of the $2,000 ATM cards. You can wait. When you are rioting for these tickets, the second thought that came to my, or these ATM cards, The second thing that came to mind was, and this is horrible to say, and I wonder if I'm alone in this, you know, it took me about a year to start hating the 9/11 victims' families. It took me about a year. And I had such compassion for them, and I really, you know, I wanted to help them, and I was behind, you know, let's give them money, let's get started, you know, all of this stuff. And I really didn't, you know, all the 3,000 victims' families, I don't hate all of them. I hate about probably about 10 of them. I'm so sick of them because they're always complaining, and we did our best for them. And it, again, it's only about 10. But the second thought that I had when I saw these people and they had to shut down the Astrodome and lock it down, I thought, I didn't think I could hate victims faster than the 9/11 victims. These guys, when you see, and you know, it's really sad. All we're hearing about are the people in New Orleans. Those are the only ones that we're seeing on television are the scumbags. Again, and it's not all of the people in New Orleans. Most of the people in New Orleans got out. It's just a small percentage of those who were left in New Orleans or who decided to stay in New Orleans, and they're getting all of the attention. It's exactly like the 9/11 victims' families. There's about 10 of them that are spoiling it for everybody.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you for your kind, compassionate conservatism. How do you defend a thing like that? How do you? We're going to go to John in Naples. Hi, John.
Hi, Guy.
Hi.
Guy, this whole thing is totally nuts. I mean, these people were left there with nobody to help them. The mayor was supposed to help them, but he didn't have a phone, so he couldn't call up Michael Brown to tell him to send the food you were supposed to have pre-staged. And I know I was watching television. I saw the people were there with no food and water. Didn't Michael Brown have a television?
I guess not. I guess he wasn't bothered.
I mean, why didn't somebody move the food from the pre-staged position it was put there on Sunday? You know, when the roof started leaking, you know you had a problem.
That's for sure.
I mean, I don't even have cable TV. I have TV for an antenna on my roof. I knew that.
Yep.
And, you know, it was obvious they needed help. You know, there was no food there. There was no water there. There was no porta potties there. And you were moving people in there. You were bringing them in there in the school buses and dropping them off at the Superdome, which was what the program said when they had their little play acting the year before. They brought them to the Superdome. They were there. There was no food. There was no water. There was nothing.
That was a sorry situation.
Michael Brown didn't... Well, he just didn't react.
It's a shame. And
well, they weren't horses.
That's right. He knew more about...
He would have got them oats.
He knew more about horses. That's
exactly
right.
He probably could have got them some oats.
That's right. Thanks for your call, John.
Couldn't get them no food.
Thanks. Great to hear from you. We got a whole board full, and I got to move along.
Okay.
Thanks. Great to hear from you. I'm going to go to Dwight in Fort Myers. Hi, Dwight.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Is that better? I get off my mic.
Yeah, you're doing fine.
When'd you get back?
When did I get back?
Weren't you down in Texas?
Oh,
for
yeah.
The
yeah,
Cindy
we
thing?
Yeah.
Well, you went on over to help them at the Louisiana, didn't you?
No.
I figured you'd been over helping them.
No. I would be in the way if I went over there.
Oh, well, see, a lot of people would have been away. I'll ask you a question about George Bush. You know why people stay so good with him?
Yeah.
It's because he says what he thinks. He does what he says. It doesn't matter what the poll. It doesn't matter what the money people. It matters what is right in his heart. Now, whether we agree what's right in his heart or not, that's entirely up to us. Obviously, you don't, and I'm sure the 8 or 10 people on your phone calls don't, but the
okay.
Man sticks with it.
Well, let me ask you a question. He said in his heart, it was in his heart to hire Michael Brown as the head of FEMA, and Michael had no experience at all.
Actually looked at that guy's resume, or he trusted somebody else?
Well, absolutely, absolutely. He appointed him.
Do you think he actually looked at his resume, or he trusted somebody's recommendation?
Well, absolutely. He should have looked at it if he didn't. First of all, First of all, George Bush wouldn't have to look at his resume because George Bush already knew the guy. George Bush wouldn't have to look at his resume whatsoever. He knew everything this guy was involved in. He worked in George Bush's campaign.
If that is true, then
it is true.
Then the okay, let's say it is. Why are we blaming Mr. Brown when the mayor told people you cannot bring that food in here? When he did not let the buses go. Matter of fact, correct me if I'm wrong. Sir, but isn't the mayor a Democrat? Isn't the governor a Democrat? Isn't Mayor Landrieu a Democrat? Isn't the sheriff that put the gun in people's face at that bridge, as horrible as it was, isn't he a Democrat? You didn't mention those.
What has that, got to do with anything?
Well, every time a Republican does something wrong, you bring it up. I thought maybe...
No, obviously you haven't listened to the whole show. I put plenty of blame with the mayor.
Several weeks, matter of fact,
you asked me what about the mayor. I put plenty of blame on the mayor. Plenty.
Let's fire him. Let's send him back with Michael Brown.
Well, he's not my FEMA director.
Well, Mr. Brown is not the FEMA director. Have you heard of the...
Yes, he is still the FEMA director.
Not until he's asked to come in, until the governor signs that paper. There's a thing called the Posse Comitatus. Have you read that?
Of course.
Okay, have you read the...
Obviously, you haven't read the timeline.
Yes, I have, sir. I haven't. You're not talking to some idiot bumbling.
Then you would know that at 5 a.m. on Saturday morning, Governor Blanco asked Bush to declare federal state of emergency in Louisiana.
When was the hurricane?
Well, it was Monday.
She did not ask him before the hurricane.
At 5 a.m., she made this statement, and they got a hold of the feds. I have determined that this incident is of such severity and magnitude that effective response is beyond the capabilities of the state and affected local governments, and that supplementary federal assistance is necessary to save lives, protect property, public health and safety, or to lessen or avert the threat of disaster. That is the official record, 5 a.m. Saturday morning.
Did they declare that a Cat 5? Like Wednesday? It came through here.
No, not on Wednesday at all. No.
It came through here about 20 miles from me and you.
On Sunday, it was on Sunday it was a Category 4 at 2 a.m. on Sunday.
Then the dice can't hold a Category 3.
Pardon me?
The dice can't hold it. The levees can't hold a Cat 3.
No, don't change
that, it. They should have started.
Now, wait a minute. Hold it a minute. You told me that the state of emergency wasn't declared. It was declared at 5 a.m., and that turns it into the hands of the feds.
It should have been declared 2-3 days earlier.
It was. You mean at 5 a.m. on Saturday wasn't enough time?
No, sir. Evidently not. How, have you ever tried to move an army? I've got several people I know that are in logistics in the military. You don't move an army in 15 minutes. You don't stage an army. First of all, you don't put them in there until...
You know how long it took them? You know how long it took them to get here after Charlie was over?
Yeah, I was here. My wife and kids that I went through hurt Charlie.
Okay. How long did it take?
They were not sitting in Fort Myers.
How long did it take the FEMA people to get here after Charlie?
How long did it take them to get in Louisiana?
Days. Days. And in fact, we had a leader of FEMA who didn't even know that they had big problems. Didn't even know that this was a bad storm, he said. He didn't know anything. And he was a George Bush appointee.
How would it have been if Huey Long's...
We started off talking...
How would it have been if Huey Long's appointees would have just turned them loose a week earlier?
Huey Long's appointees?
Oh, yeah. Landrieu's part of Huey Long's.
Where are you going with this?
I'm saying that with the Democratic Party... They've had it so good, they've not paid any attention, they let us...
Wait a minute. We started off talking here about the timeline of this, and you're completely ignoring me.
I'm saying that
the governor put this in the hands of FEMA at 5 a.m. on Saturday morning, and most of the FEMA help didn't show up till Wednesday.
Why not 5 a.m. on Friday morning?
5 a.m. on... No. You're not going to do this. You're not talking to anybody stupid. I know the exact timeline of this whole thing, and then you told me earlier that it was a Category 5 already on Saturday. It was not. It wasn't a 5 until 2 a.m. on Sunday, and it was already declared a disaster area by the governor and put in the hands of FEMA, and they didn't show up till Wednesday. They show up after Charlie in Florida in literally a couple of hours, but it's days up there. You're going to tell me that George Bush puts a man ahead of one of the most important agencies in America, one of his pals. Pardon me?
We're doing Republican Democrat. Let me tell you this. The storm damage, I think I read the paper, the Monday, Louisiana dodges the storm. It was the dikes and the levees that broke loose on Tuesday that caused the problem. The storm damage is not near as much
Actually, the dike problem started on Monday afternoon. The public didn't know it, but the government did.
When did they get there?
Obviously, you've been listening to the Rush Limbaugh too much. You must have gotten your facts from Limbaugh. You were right. You were wrong right out of the get-go about this state of emergency. That's when it went with FEMA. We don't need to talk to him anymore because he flunked his test. I'm amazed. I'm just amazed the ignorance of some of the people that call in, and they want so bad to exonerate this wonderful president who...
Your weekend station, Link WNOG.
Oh, well, yeah, we know that. How can you call in and defend this? And let it also be said that the gentleman that just called and people like him are down around 38% or less now of the people. Most of the thinking people in America recognize the fact by now that this administration is totally inept, corrupt, in just about every way you can name. You don't put a guy ahead of FEMA that's a jerk like this Michael Brown. Yeah. We got the microphone? Yeah, we're going to get Johnny. What's up, John?
I just wanted to say that Pushkin 89 on AIM pointed out that the reason the governor of Louisiana did not give Bush 100% of the power, which was smart to do because no governor would, and so that's probably why Bush held Louisiana hostage.
Actually, he met with her when he came and met. He wanted her to sign a statement saying that they would turn over 100% control of every last thing in the state to the federal government. She was not willing to do that, as no governor would do. Absolutely, that's a very, very good point. We're going to go to Jim in Naples. Hi, Jim. Is Jim with us? Hello, Jim. Hi, Jim. Are you with us?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to say I agree with you 100%. I think that this administration is absolutely horrible. They can't handle the war in Iraq, and they sure as heck can't handle a natural disaster in the United States.
Well,
and they absolutely should have had more personnel out there on the ground immediately, just like in Iraq. You know, if you want to go to a war, we would have needed 500,000 easily.
Yeah.
Well, and I know what it meant to draft, and I don't know what we would do with Katrina. Maybe draft people to help with, I don't know, what do you do? I mean, we don't have the manpower right now.
Well, that's another point, and I have not brought that up.
What do you think? Do you think we should draft civilians to help out?
I don't know.
I know we're laughing, but, you know, we draft people for war, and they have to die.
Well, you know, back during Roosevelt's day, we had the WPA and things like that. We may have to have something like that again.
That's what we should have, the WPA, something like that again. Put people to work, draft them, and have them out there helping the real people that are suffering.
They did some wonderful things. Built a lot of hospitals, a lot of roads, a lot of libraries. They did some great things. Hey, thanks for your call.
All right, keep it up.
Good to hear from you. We're going to go to John in Cape Coral. Hi, John.
Well, good evening. Great show.
Thank you.
I can hardly hear you, though.
Oh, we're loud and clear. Don't worry.
Yeah, well, if I don't respond to you right, as I can't hear you as well as I'd like. There's another facet to this guy that I wanted to bring up, and that's the economic facet that must be hitting all the people, including your caller, Dwight. And we haven't talked about it. We're so much in the... New Orleans and the mess up there, and I agree with every word you've said. But look at the whole thing with gas and oil, and what is happening to the economics of this country and people's pocketbook.
Oh, I can tell you from firsthand knowledge, a lot of small businessmen are hurting real bad right now. I mean, really bad.
And you talk about the poor people. What about the poor people who have to go to work and pay the gas prices?
That's right, and they got to pay it. I mean, they've got to.
And then there is another facet to this which I don't see being discussed, and I wanted to bring it up. And that is the fact, as you know, the season is about to change. We're going into winter. And we need fuel oil to heat the houses up north.
Oh, man. Mm.
And I think we're going to come into a crisis. And what planning has been done for this crisis?
Well, obviously nothing. you know, they've let this price thing encroach upon our society, creepy crawly thing that it is, and it's got to the point now where it is a serious problem. And you're right, John, the heating oil thing in the north and northeast is going to be a major, major problem.
And it's going to impact on the availability of gas for us.
Oh, most certainly.
And I think, you know, again, we have the human tragedy, but we have another human tragedy coming up. And my question to everybody, including you, what is being done by our government to deal with it?
Nothing that I can see. And I'll throw that toward the Democrats as well. I see nothing being done on the ways of helping this energy problem. And it's you're right, John. It's going to hit, and it's going to hit hard when the weather gets cold.
You know, we're putting blame in terms of what has happened. Why aren't we looking in terms of what is happening and what will happen, and not only to the people of that region which was impacted, but the rest of the people of the United States and probably other people in the world, as, you know, we haven't got the availability of oil to meet our needs, and the prices are so out of sight that it's going to drive our economy totally south.
It is. It's going to affect every last thing. You know, food prices are going to start rising. Everything's going to start going. Shipping prices of everything. It's going to affect retailers everywhere, and eventually it's going to find its way, its dirty little hands into the pocketbooks of every American.
Now, those people who are homeless, eventually they've got to get jobs.
Yeah.
They've got to have economics. And if the whole country is going to be impacted in a negative way, what's going to happen to them?
Absolutely. 400,000 jobs missing now, just washed away. And it's going to be severe, the impact of it. John, thanks for your call.
Take care.
Thanks so much. We're going to take a couple more calls before the bottom of the hour, but I want to remind you, I'm going to talk this next half hour of the program about my hero of the week. I've got a hero of the week, and you're going to love this. We'll just see. But you don't want to miss this, my hero of the week segment in this next program. Going to go to Tom in Punta Gorda. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I've known Wayne Saladay personally for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what party affiliation he has. He's never shown it. All I can say is that he was the head of our disaster department here.
Mm-hmm.
He did an excellent job.
Sure seems like he did. He did do a good job.
He
no
did
question.
A good job, and I'm quite sure if we had the catastrophic thing, and they call a lot of shots here, the local politicians also stepped up to the plate, that if we had buses sitting in a parking lot and we had a tidal surge, we wouldn't let them sit there and be flooded. He would have evacuated the people. They wouldn't worry about it. He just would have got them the way out of the storm.
Well, do remember, they didn't leave everybody sitting around in New Orleans. 80% of the city was evacuated.
Well, I don't think so, because they still, well, whatever, you can tell that story.
No, it's not
but
a
I'm
story.
Not
80%
fine,
of the 80%
the
of the town.
But the buses were sitting there. We're going to have to pay for them as taxpayers to replace them. And I'm just saying that Wayne did an excellent job.
Oh, he did. I have no quarrel with that.
I don't remember seeing FEMA. I was in the eye of the storm, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't look for FEMA. Me and my neighbors, we got out there. We helped each other. We had to cut trees out down roads to get down and move power lines off of them that were down and telephone poles to get out from where we were.
Well, that George
and
Bush.
And I wasn't looking for FEMA to help me.
Yeah, well, George Bush must be a liar, because he and his brother both swore that FEMA got there within an hour and 20 minutes after the storm was over.
They might have been in there, whatever, they didn't. But we were out in a rural area. It was a pretty big area that got hit.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, but I thank God we had the leadership in this state that Louisiana evidently is lacking. And I thank God we had Bush and people with, you know, smarts to see and do things and not waiting for the government to do it.
Who do you think, so FEMA didn't do anything here?
No, FEMA did. They did. They came in and they helped a lot of people. They helped the poor people. In fact, we still got mobile homes. We got a FEMA park there.
Could we have handled this thing without FEMA? Let me answer
FEMA
that for you. The answer is no.
FEMA personally, I didn't need them, but
well,
there's
some
a lot
people.
Of people that fall through the cracks that need them.
I spoke to a lady this afternoon that's here from New Orleans. She didn't need FEMA either, but she knew most of the rest of the people in New Orleans.
Well, that's fine. I don't need them, and I wasn't looking for them.
I don't quarrel with our leadership here,
no,
but I'm saying our local leadership. But I'm saying this: any president of the United States that appoints a man like Brown as
don't
head of FEMA.
The guy, you know, if they failed or whatever, the guy, you know, hey, there's a lot of bums, you know. I mean,
and who appointed him?
He was a bum.
And who appointed him?
I'm talking about Ron Brown. That was Clinton had him.
What's that got to do with anything?
Well, you're saying he appointed a bad guy. Well, Clinton.
For God's sake, he wasn't in charge of FEMA that we're talking about. Don't change the subject on me. Did Bush appoint this yo-yo or not? Did he appoint him or not?
He did appoint him.
He did.
He was a bad. Evidently, we don't know for sure. The jury's still out.
Oh no, it's not out.
Well, we'll find out when all this stuff. But I think the most incompetence, from what I've seen, is the local mayor and the governor. Thank God we had Bush, you call him the shrub, in our here. Otherwise, things could have been a hell of a lot worse. We had the same debacle and the same people running at the state that Louisiana has. You know, kind of Mississippi doesn't have the problem.
They don't?
Not the problem.
Oh, my God, have you missed the boat here? FEMA was just as late getting into Haley Barber State as he was in New Orleans.
And they're out there cleaning their streets.
They live in a rural area, for God's sake.
Well, where do you think I live?
I don't care where you live. This is going nowhere. The people in Mississippi waited on FEMA in Haley Barber's Republican state just as much as they waited in Louisiana.
I know, but hey, you know what? I saw a lot of them getting out there and cleaning their houses.
Well, there's people in New Orleans that did the same thing, but it's damn hard to do that when you're under 6 feet of water. Thanks for your call. Jesus. Do these people ever use their brains? I'm amazed by that. I'll get back to the phones. Pardon my exasperation with people. I don't suffer fools easily. I really don't, and I should. Doing a show like this, I should learn how to talk to fools a little better. I really should. I promise to get better at it. I do, but... No, I don't. I take that back. I will never suffer fools. Well, never. You know, we can talk about all the anecdotal information that comes down the highway all day long, and it's fine. I know we had some local leaders did real well during Charlie. I also know that FEMA was here right away and provided this assistance that this state could not possibly have done without the massive trailers that came in, the whole business, and we happen to have the brother of the President of the United States, and this happens to be a state that voted Republican. So do remember that. It is quite important, whether you want to admit it or not. We're going to pause for a break at the bottom of the hour. Don't go away if you're on the phone. We're going to be right back, and we've got lots more.
This is the Guy James Radio Network.
Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is the Guy James Show.
This is a very sensitive subject. Not good. Very bad. Yeah. From the moment I heard Barbara say I had a son, I knew that I'd be safe cause I'd never be alone. We GOPers shouldn't speak a lot about our feelings. Both hurt and pain don't make us too appealing. I'd hope Junior would look up to me, run the business of the family. Have an evil empire just like his dear old dad. Get him out of Vietnam, that doesn't look too bad. Junior should act like he's a good guy. Finish up my war and cover up his lies. Be evil and show no feelings too. Listen to Dick Cheney, who'll tell him what to do. Junior's in jeopardy. Carl Roof, see? Cut him off. Treat him unfairly. Nothing else matters. Oh, siree. Nothing else but the legacy.
George, what are you doing? Are you, what are you doing, George?
Sorry there, Dick.
What, George, what are you doing?
Singing my son a little something. But he'll get to see it. Hopefully he'll get a chance to see it. Know what you're all about.
You have a product. You have a service. You want to tell people about your product or service, but you're afraid of being taken down a long road of expenses with no ride back. I'm Johnny Johnson, president of J2K, producers of The Guy James Show. Every week, we're called on to help businesses present their products and services to consumers by radio, video, and web. Businesses like yours. Visit us on the web at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're gonna like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at Guy James at theguyjamesshow.com.
We at The Guy James Show would like to thank the following listeners for their support and welcome them to the growing army of clear-thinking Americans who have contributed to the nation's only listener-supported Democratic radio talk show. Ann Ross, New York, New York. Luciano Rossetti, Cape Coral, Florida. Alice Knowlton, Milford, Massachusetts. Dave Goggin, Eureka, California. Annette Fenner, Marysville, Washington. Joe and Nancy Vogel, St. Paul, Minnesota. Juan Puerto, Fort Myers, Florida. Sarah Kay, Santa Fe, New Mexico. And Marcia Johns, Merritt Island, Florida. To join the growing list of those that support The Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135.
Helpful marketing tip number 201. If your audio production company puts you on hold and you hear either Muzak or some generic,
we really appreciate your call,
message, you may not want to trust them to produce your message on hold either. J2K Productions. We just do it better. Find out how at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
Southwest Florida, your official lie detector is here. Now, your wait is over. This is The Guy James Show. Commercials off. This is The Guy James Show on the Democrat Radio Network.
Hey, my apologies to everybody that's been waiting on the phone for so long. We're going to get to you in just a minute. I promise we'll get to all the calls in we can. I want to talk very briefly about my hero of the week this week, and I love this guy. I really do. I know all of you know about him, but perhaps you don't know the whole story. How many of you saw Dick Cheney being interviewed in his little photo op the other day? And this, there he is, Darth Cheney. How many of you saw that interview? And you saw Cheney, blah, 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 talking to the interviewer, and then you heard this guy in the background say something really nasty to him twice. The guy's name was Dr. Ben Marble. He's a young emergency room physician, and he's quite interesting. He, like lots of others, lost his home due to Hurricane Katrina last week, and it was the single most traumatic week of his life, he said. That led to this September 8th confrontation with the man who best represents the worst of the most callous, heartless, crappiest administration in U.S. history. Marble explains, Dr. Marble explains, he was driving to his destroyed house September 8th in Gulfport, Mississippi, when military police refused to allow him to cross a barricade that was about 200 feet from his home. They forced him to drive an extra 20 minutes and spend even more on gasoline. So he says, thanks to Bush and Mr. Cheney, gas is really expensive and extremely hard to get anywhere Katrina has destroyed. So needless to say, I was extremely aggravated that they wouldn't let me pass. So suddenly a long line of cars, dark cars, pulled up, and they honked at Marble to back up to let him through the barricade that supposedly no one could drive through. That only made Marble madder, so what did he did the same a lot of us did. He gave him the middle finger wave, all right? And so he drove the extra 20 minutes getting around the town to get back to his house, and He asked a couple of police officers if he and a friend could walk down to Cheney. And they told him Cheney was looking forward to talking. They told Dr. Marble that Cheney was looking forward to talking to the locals. Oh, I bet he was. So he, Dr. Marble said, we grabbed my Canon digital camera and a Sony video camera, and we started walking down the street. And then right in front of the destroyed tennis court I used to play on, Dick Cheney was given a pep rally. He was talking to the press, and the Secret Service guys patted us down and waved the wands over us, and then they let us pass. So he stood about 10 feet away from Cheney and his friend and some camera operators from CNN and other media filmed the scene, and all of a sudden, Marble yelled out, "Go F yourself, Mr. Cheney. Go F yourself." And another expletive deleted. You know, at least he was polite. Yeah, he referred to Cheney as Mr. Cheney. He said, "I had no intention of harming anyone, but merely wanted to echo Mr. Cheney's infamous words back at him." You all remember he's told Patrick Leahy that on the Senate floor last year, so Cheney's no stranger to that language. So he and his friend videotaped a little longer, and they went back to what was left of Marble's house. And as they were looking through, salvaging some things from his house, two military police waving M16s showed up and said they were looking for someone who fit Marble's description, who had cursed at Cheney. And he said, "I told them I was probably the person they were looking for, so they put me in handcuffs and detained me for about 20 minutes or so. My right thumb went numb because the cuffs were on so tight, but they were fairly courteous and eventually released me after getting all my contact info. They said I had not broken any laws, so I was free to go." Doc, you are my hero of the week. Dr. Ben Marble. If I had some trumpets, I'd play them for him. My sentiments exactly. I'm sure I would have said something much worse had I been there. That's it. There's our tribute to Dr. Marble. We got it all here. Heading back to the phone here real quick. Let's go to Jim in Fort Myers. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Guy.
Yeah.
I got an answer for your question about why they defend Bush so vigorously no matter what he does.
Why is that?
Because they too view him as an imbecile and incapable of defending himself. Let's say you were at the beach and you saw a 10-year-old throw a cup of soda on an adult, and the adult attacked him, he'd defend the kid even though the kid was wrong. Because he needs your defense. He can't do it himself.
Well, I agree. And in many cases, your analogy there is quite apropos. I think Mr. Bush is probably not capable on an intellectual plane of defending himself. He'd just get himself in more trouble, I'm sure.
Guy, I think the guy has got brain damage from all the drinking he did.
There's something there.
And his speech problems where he says ridiculous things like, "I want to help you put food on your children." And a couple months into Iraq said, "You need patience because it takes time to restore chaos."
Right, right.
What he meant was, it takes time to restore chaos. From chaos, restore peace.
Yeah.
But there's a... things aren't firing upstairs, you know?
No, we should all have...
the message doesn't get out of his mouth correctly. He meant to say something, but it didn't come out right.
And I should probably have more compassion for the man. I look at people who are intellectually challenged and often feel very much compassion for them. And perhaps I've been a bit harsh. I should be a little more understanding. Hey, thanks for your call, Jim.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If this hurricane had happened on Bush's first week of vacation, do you think he ever would have showed up?
Good question.
He never have come off vacation.
He only had to
give up one day of vacation.
Yeah, well, it's a shame. He had to give up one day of that 5-week vacation.
They'd have had to drag him.
Yeah, and don't forget, everybody.
He'd be screaming.
He flew back in the middle of the night to Washington, D.C. from his ranch for over the Terry Schiavo thing to sign that bill. But he had to stop and eat some cake and play the guitar before he came back after this disaster. Thanks for your call, Jim. Good to hear from you. We're guilty. All of us are guilty. Maybe not all of us. But I think we deserve the leadership we have. We absolutely deserve it. We deserve this president and his administration. And think about it. How many of us voted? About half of us? Something like that? It's probably the Democrats' fault that he's in there because they didn't get out and vote. How many of us actually participate in our political process? How many of us take the time to check out the candidates we vote for? Rather than just rely on a soundbite you hear on TV. You know, I know most of my listeners check them out thoroughly. That's why most of my listeners voted for John Kerry instead of this rhinestone cowboy we have in office. And when our government makes monumental errors like the Bush administration has done over and over and over again, and oh my God, I'm so tired of having to point it out. How many citizens voiced their opinions over that? Did you call your congressman this week? Did you call your senator this week and complain about the job the government's done up there? I did. You know, when Congress passes outrageous bills like the bankruptcy bill and this latest appropriation bill, how many citizens make their views known to their congressman? Damn few. And when Bush wanted to start the Bush War, how many of our citizens went out and protested that? How many people called their congressman to let them know their feelings about those bills and this war? Damn few. And how many Americans took the time to do proper research on whether or not Bush was telling the truth when he started the Bush War? Evidently not very many. And look where that got us. And how many Americans say they're actively involved in the political process? Very, very few. So, really, I know a lot of you don't want to hear it, but I guess it's the American people's fault that we're in this pickle. I mean, yeah, this gang of liars and thieves running this nation right now are a bunch of bad apples. But it's the American people who allowed them to take the control in the first place. We got what we deserved. Let there be no mistake about that. We absolutely got what we deserved. And I want to address my fellow Americans who are whimpering about the fact that Bush has taken too much blame for the hurricane's response. Well, he is, for better or worse, he is the CEO of this nation. The buck stops with him, and if he's unwilling to acknowledge in this, then he's a bigger coward than I originally thought he was. And he's shown that over and over again. He doesn't know where the buck stops. And to you blind supporters of Bush, you are just as cowardly or more so. Too much of a bunch of whimpering fools to ever make, ever admit a mistake. You never hear him admit it. Never. Tell me, since when did figuring out why something so important went so horribly wrong, when did that become finger-pointing? Did we really have the luxury of waiting for another disaster or a terrorist attack to figure out how to make FEMA and the Homeland Security work better? I mean, there's no doubt there's a lot of political posturing going on, but if you love this country and you want to protect it, surely you want a very quick answer and you want some changes made post-haste. You know, criticism of the Bush administration's pathetic handling of the Katrina crisis is because we hate Bush? That's the same Karl Rove manufactured mentality that says people who oppose the Bush war hate America. That's just a stupid comment. You know, face it, many, many thousands of Gulf Coast citizens waited for days for help to arrive. There have been so many mistakes made in past years, especially in the underfunding of flood control and wetland restoration. And there may be plenty of blame to share with state and local officials, but the state and local officials were at least trying to do something. The utter failure of FEMA and the federal government, most especially Bush, it's incontrovertible. You know, they're now in full damage control mode, trying to point the finger at everyone except themselves. Blame whoever you want, local, state governments. It's simply unfathomable that Bush, being the guy who always gets what he wants and takes by force if necessary, demands it gets things done now. He always demands to get things done now, but he didn't in this case. You know, conservatives are going to try and convince you of anything that you are gullible enough to believe. And the alternative would be having to take responsibility. And this is an administration that would sell the country out rather than take responsibility for anything. They just haven't done it. They don't believe in it. You know, Bush talks a good game, or at least reads somebody else's good game very well. But when push comes to shove, the best defense, and they know this, the best defense is a good offense. You know, blame poor, impoverished New Orleans because they didn't have the wherewithal to construct new levees. Poor cities all over America rely on federal funds for major projects like that. Governor Blanco did petition the feds for that money. But when you give huge tax breaks to the filthy rich and conduct an immoral war to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars, the states always take the hit. The dirty little secret is that this president didn't give a damn about New Orleans. No votes there. Democratic mayor, Democratic governor, Democratic senator, one of them, low on the priority list. If he were really a proactive president, which he isn't, he would have appointed a commission to look into the feasibility of reconstructing these levees. But what was his initial response after the levees broke? And I'm appalled that he said this. No one ever thought the levees would break. This is the President of the United States talking? Why doesn't he have the same compassion and love for the country, as I said before, Richard Nixon did, and just resign in disgrace? The single best thing that could happen to our country right now would be for George Bush and his entire administration to just give it up. Just resign. Just resign. Please. Going to go to John in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, John.
Good evening, guy. How are you?
Great.
I don't have a whole lot to add about the storm and the aftermath and all the fallout from that, but I would like to just talk about something I heard a few weeks ago that I think feeds into the idea of this kind of Stepford wife mentality that those on the right wing, particularly those who listen to right-wing talk radio and believe it, adhere to. I heard Rush Limbaugh talking about General Wesley Clark, and he referred to him as a, quote, candy ass. And I thought about that, and I thought, Rush Limbaugh is calling General Wesley Clark a candy ass.
Yeah.
Now, here's a guy who graduated from the military academy. He was he led a company in combat as a captain in Vietnam, was wounded by sniper fire, led the interdiction into Kosovo during the Clinton's administration, and here is a 4F fat drug addict calling him a candy ass. Now, if he believes, Rush Limbaugh believes that his audience will buy that, and he's probably justified in doing so, then it's no wonder that, I mean, it's the gullibility, the lack of critical thinking on the right, the willingness to believe whatever these people say it's extraordinary. That's the only word I can come up with.
I couldn't agree more, John. I couldn't agree more. Is that not ludicrous for Limbaugh to make a statement like that? But you're right. No matter what he says, it turns into fact. Over and over and over again, there's 20 million idiots.
And another thing that's so interesting about the term candy ass is I believe the medical reason that got Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, no, here we go. Oh, no.
Was it not anal fissures? Wasn't that what was on the
anal fissures cyst, yes. Oh, thanks so much for bringing that up.
Oh, yeah. Well, I do want to say, in response to those that say that Bush was not acting quickly enough, in the hours after this tragedy really began to reveal itself in New Orleans, he impaneled a blue ribbon committee tasked with the specific job of figuring a way to blame it on Clinton.
Absolutely, and they'll find a way. You know they will. Hey, okay. Got to run, John. Thank you so much.
You bet.
I promised you, and I'll get back to the phone as soon as I can. Hang on. I promised you that I would read a letter that I have read, I don't know, 20 times this week. And I got to read it to you. And it's from a gentleman in Norway, Kent. Kent listens to the program. Kent, I'm going to read your letter. I didn't have permission to read it, but I've got to read this to people. So, Mr. James, I love your show, but something is troubling me. Even you benign and informed liberals keep saying that you, the USA, are the best, in spite of this and that. What on earth do you base this on? Do you still think that 1776 makes you better by default? You're the worst in the West when it comes to civil rights, women's rights, except for the Latin countries in Europe, and gay rights. You pollute the most. You do the least to rectify it. Your democratic system is impotent and corrupt, and barely over half your population vote anyway. So you are not the greatest democracy either. Every third person imprisoned on the planet sits in an American jail. You kill the most. In the West, you have the most homeless people and the highest unemployment, except for the poorest European nations. You break agreements you have signed, the Geneva Conventions and others. You meddle in other democracies, assuming we accept the USA as a democracy. and kill or organize coups against their leaders. Chile, Nicaragua, Venezuela, and many more examples. You were the greatest in science for a few decades, and you may still be the most inventive people, computers and the internet. I'll grant you that. But apart from this, what gives you and some of your callers the gall to claim that you are the greatest country on earth? You weren't the greatest even before the criminal Bush assumed power. That letter really made me think. I had to look up some of the things he talked about the most in prisons and homeless people in the West, Western Hemisphere, and all that, and he was right about everything. And it pains me to say that he was right about everything. It really does. And I wrote him back in the most intelligent manner that I could, and we corresponded back and forth this week. But I wanted you to hear that letter. And I wanted you to hear that letter not because I wanted to use it as a downer against America, because you know I love this country. And I know so many of you love this country as well. But I read this letter so that we could all maybe understand how the rest of the world's thinking of us right now. And so that we could take steps, starting now, to make this country better than it is. I was raised in the 50s, in time of innocence here in the country. Oh yes, the Cold War was going strong. But it was an innocent time. And we were raised to believe that we were the best and the brightest, and we were absolutely invulnerable. And that's the way I was raised. And I know many of you were raised that way as well. But this letter is very sobering. And it should cause pause with many of you to understand the frailties, the shortcomings of this country, and to bring her back to her glory days, when we were looked upon by the rest of the world as the shining example of what a great nation should be. We are not looked upon that way right now. We're not. And we should be. And I'll take issue with this gentleman. I think we can be the greatest nation on earth. I think we once were. I think we've slipped. And it's all of our fault. We all have a hand in it. We don't vote like we ought to. We don't get registered to vote. And for all the reasons I mentioned a little earlier, we deserve what we've got right now. And it's a crying shame, and it makes me weep for this country when I see a very learned and intelligent man from Norway write a letter like this and echo the sentiments of much of Europe. I don't want my country looked at in that light, and it pains me greatly that they do look at us this way. And in these last 12 days, we've shown them some more of the ugly side of America. We've shown them some more of the shortcomings of America. We've shown them that there is racism that exists in this country still today, after all that Martin Luther King and the great freedom riders did. It still exists today. It's rampant in places, even at the highest levels. And that makes me ashamed. And that's something that should not exist in a society. If you're going to call yourself a great society, that's something that should not exist. We've progressed farther than that. And we deserve better as a nation. We really do. And those we discriminate against deserve better. The poor folks in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama are going to need a tremendous amount of help. They're going to need a helping hand. And those of you who disavow government, that don't want anything to do with government, now is the time for government to prove its mettle. Now is the time for government to come forth and do what it is that government should do, and that's to protect the people and help them in terrible times of crisis when it's beyond the people's means to help themselves. And this is one of those times when you've lost everything you have, when your house, your car, all of your personal possessions, and your job have literally been washed away, your entire future washed away, this is the time for America to step forth and show once again why we were once thought of as the greatest country on this planet. We should be. We still can be. But we're going to have to prove it to the ones of the world, or the rest of the world again. We're going to have to prove it. And I don't want to let the program go by without talking about an anniversary tomorrow that is painful to talk about. Still, for these 4 years later, 9/11 is tomorrow. That's something none of us that live to see will ever forget it. I hope as times go by, the pain will subside. I hope the families who lost members in 9/11, I hope they can take solace in the fact that America can do better. I, like all of you, was shocked when 9/11 happened, when those planes hit us. And I don't want to blame that on America. I think there were crazy people that did that. Crazy people that maybe don't understand us, don't understand our reasoning for a lot of things, but they were fanatics. And we've got fanatics right here in our own country. And if 9/11 did anything, it should show us all that we cannot allow fanatics to take over in this country. We've seen what fanatical views can do around the world and other places, and we don't want it taking hold here. And there are times when I see fanaticism in this country, and it troubles me, and it scares me, and it worries me for the future of this nation when I see that. So I do want to take this moment in remembrance for 9/11. I thought a lot about it. It doesn't seem like it's been 4 years ago, but we've learned a lot. I hope we've learned a lot. One thing we haven't learned is how to protect our nation better, and we've got to work a little harder on that. We can, we should, and hopefully we will if we have the right leadership to do it. We need the right leadership, and we're looking for those leaders right now, and I hope they emerge soon. We need them very, very badly. I want to thank all of you for listening to this program tonight. I do appreciate you listening each and every week. I'm very appreciative. We'll see you next week. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
You've been listening to The Guy James Show, the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer Gene Charles. Production director Johnny Johnson with J2K Productions. Program coordinator Lila St. John. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show.